It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. I was just enjoying the drum loop a little bit. Oh, well, goodness gracious, here we are. It is the fourth day of February 2021. This is the Horn Headon.live. It is where we live on the interweb tubes, and it's where you can go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza. This is the Horn chat room. Pop on by. The gang is gathering even as we speak. If you do pop on by, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave, and he's capably assisted by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. For this here Thorn in the Side Thursday. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And what a dandy one this is. It's been thorny, I guess, since the House of Representatives convened this morning. Lots and lots and lots of fun to be had. Oh, my goodness. Yes. And so we'll probably go there in fairly short order, but every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so thanks go out to our fourth day of the month subscribers at PayPal. Mm-hmm. And that would be thanks to Dave and Thomas, and thank you to Paul, and thank you so very much for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep this on the air for as long as you have. And that means that the fundraising goal for this evening is $747. Hopefully we will take some of that down. Maybe we'll take a lot of it down. It would be great if we did. I don't recall $1,000 Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle. May have happened at some point in the past, but I don't recall it. So if we can knock down $100 or so, $200, maybe just do one day's full funding, you know, we'll be guaranteed not to be talking about a $1,000 community-made miracle come Friday on the Front Porch tomorrow. Of course, the interface for keeping it all going is there at headon.live. It's very easy. You can also use Venmo. You can use the U.S. Postal Service, as some people do. That would be The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. I don't know why I do that so quickly. It makes it functionally useless. But it's also there on the main page at headon.live. Okay? So, my goodness. I think what we're going to do is just go straight to the House of Representatives. I was watching earlier the shenanigans. Today's shenanigans were brought to you by Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber, and they are debating the motion to strip her of her committee assignments. And I have queued up her remarks, in which she predictably pogo-sticked up onto the crucifix to declare that, well, mean Democrats were just ruining her life, announcing along the way that she was the first in her family to go to college. And the first thing that occurred to me was, well, how nice, bless her heart. At least she's the first in her family to go to college on this planet. Yeah. So I thought we might check in with a little bit of the floor debate, because it has suddenly entirely inexplicably been turned into a debate over that horrible, 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 mean, nasty, awful Ilhan Omar. Yeah, no kidding.
Shouldn't be wasting the time of this body.
Oh, by the way, this is notable maggot and supporter of treason. He's done now, but that was Chip Roy from Syphilis Springs, Texas. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I just want to make clear that this is not an action by one party. This is a House resolution today. All of us will be voting, and the Constitution couldn't be clearer. Article 1, Section 5 vests the House with the authority independent of the Ethics Committee to discipline a member, and as a sanction for such behavior, the House may limit any right, power,
this is Ted Deutsch of Florida.
Member, I'm sure my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are aware of that. With that, I am pleased to yield a minute and a half to the gentleman from Georgia, Representative Williams.
The gentlewoman is recognized for a minute and a half.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise today in support of the resolution to remove Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from her committee assignment. Her words and actions tout dangerous and deadly QAnon conspiracy theories, threaten our national security, and put the lives of every person in this.
And all of that's true, but I wanted to also point out along the way that I think there needs to be some sort of a modification congressional, well, in this case, House procedure. Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber should, like an accused in Merry Old England, have to stand in the dock and listen to the remarks against her, so that she can't go back to her office and fundraise on her self-crucifixion.
Footage of Representative Greene berating a Parkland shooting survivor, a teenager who came to Capitol Hill seeking help from lawmakers to put an end to mass shootings and prevent other high school students from having to witness the senseless murder of their classmates and teachers. This is personal for me, as a mom of my Carter Cakes who just started kindergarten, and as a survivor of a school shooting my senior year of high school that claimed the life of a classmate. I still live with that trauma today. My colleagues on the other side of the aisle say they disapprove of Representative Greene's actions. However, disapproval without action means nothing. This is about doing what's right. As Dr. King stated, it's never the wrong time to do the right thing. And with that, I yield back.
Chairwoman yields back. Gentleman from Florida is recognized. Is reserving. And gentlewoman from Indiana is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I yield 3 minutes to the gentleman from Texas, Mr. Gohmert.
Oh, we got here just in time.
Texas is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And this is personal to me. I've dedicated so much of my adult life to the Constitution of the United States. And if you go back to 1884, it's been cited for about 80 or 100 years even, a select committee back in 1884 was taking up the issue of a member of Congress being expelled, and the committee said that because the conduct was committed during an earlier Congress, it must be said that with practical uniformity, the precedents in such cases are to the effect the House will not expel a member for reprehensible action prior to the election of a member, not even for conviction of an offense. That has been so frequently decided in the House that it's no longer a matter of dispute. And yes, that was expelling from the House, but you're wanting to expel a member from being a full member as she was elected to do. Now, James Madison, hopefully that name rings a bell, said if the legislature could regulate those, talking about qualifications, which in this case would mean you got to meet our qualifications for what you say before you're a member of Congress or you don't come in. And he said if you could regulate those qualifications, it can be by degrees subvert the Constitution. A republic may be converted into an aristocracy or an oligarchy, as well as limiting the number capable of being elected. Qualifications founded on artificial distinction.
I'll just about bet you that James Madison in those remarks was not talking about someone who advocated the overthrow of the government.
This is so dangerous. Never in the history of the Congress has a majority party been taken such fanatical action to remove somebody from the other party from committees. This is unprecedented.
Never.
You know, we had a senator named Biden who looked at a Ku Klux Klan recruiter as a mentor and friend. And you punished him by inaugurating him as president.
Oh, dear God.
Look, please, I know there's so many good, decent Democrats. We disagree on a lot of things. But as a matter of conscience, you talk about conscience. You got to know if you do this, just like Democrats objecting to electors and then coming around later and say, oh, you're disenfranchising voters. Look, if you do this, you know the day will come when Republicans will not like something you said and start removing you from committees. This is not a road to go down. I beg you, please don't start this precedent. It won't end well for
either party. Please don't throw me in that old briar patch.
We will follow your lead if you lead. I'm imploring you, do the right thing. Vote no on this resolution. I yield back.
Gentlemen, yields back. Members are reminded to direct their remarks to the chair.
You know, here's a question. I wonder if the Republicans will let Adam Kinzinger speak, or do the Democrats have to do that?
Ms. Tlaib.
Thank you.
Chairwoman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. After decades of living through discrimination from our government, my older black neighbors in my district finally began having a sense of hope that a new generation of elected leaders are here. Recently, however, those same neighbors have told me they began to feel that fear again because of what is happening here in this chamber. Because in today's Republican Party, Marjorie Taylor Greene's worldviews are violent,
this is
anti-black,
Rashida,
racist, Islamophobic, anti-Semitic, and they're condoned. Every single day that goes by without outright condemnation from every single one of her Republican colleagues, without consequences for her extremist views, is an outright endorsement of white supremacy. We owe it to our residents who have been victim of these very hateful views to take action. When members like Marjorie Taylor Greene proudly claim that Muslims shouldn't be allowed in this Congress, or that 9/11 attacks were fake, or that the Speaker of the House should be executed, there must be consequences. I yield.
Gentlewoman yields back. Gentleman from Florida reserves. Gentlewoman from Indiana is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I yield 2 minutes to the gentleman from Arizona, Mr. Biggs.
Gentleman from Arizona is recognized for 2 minutes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's good to be here today. But what I feel and what I believe as I'm listening and I'm hearing the debate is this is not really about words said by Ms. Greene before she was ever elected overwhelmingly in her district. Because if it was about language, and that we were disciplining, discipline somebody else from this side, on the Democrat side, who said, Israel's hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
That would have invoked some discipline, I would have thought. How about this one? Comparing Jewish Israeli settlers to termites. That guy didn't get discipline. He's still on the committees. I said
I had no idea this was the Knesset.
There's been a steady stream, almost like termites can get into a residence and eat before you know that you've been eaten up and you fall in on yourself. It goes on. It goes on. The Speaker of this House has said Republicans are enemies of the state. All of these incite to riot violence. All of these demean. All of these dehumanize. All of these are in. These are statements that just should not be accepted. But they were accepted. There was no condemnation. And as the last speaker just said, no condemnation is an endorsement. So I guess there's endorsement from all of them on those statements. And so here we are today. And you're doing something that's unprecedented. You're taking somebody for things she said before she got into this body. And you're saying, we're going to control the minority choice of committee assignments. Never happened before, but here it goes. And I'm afraid it's going to cascade, because that's not the way we should do this. You can't take away the rights of the minority leader and the minority conference. That is the problem that we have here. No one endorses.
Republicans have an absolute right to be a bunch of conspiracy theory spewing, bigoted, racist, xenophobic maniacs. And y'all can't tell us not to.
Gentleman from Florida is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield 1.5 minutes to the gentlelady from Illinois, Ms. Kelly.
Mr.
Chairwoman is recognized for 1.5 minutes.
Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of House Resolution 72 to remove Marjorie Taylor Greene from her committee post. Congresswoman Greene is part of the cult conspiracy mindset that has infected segments of our American society and is ripping our nation apart. The wild conspiracy theories that QAnoners invent are, in essence, outrageous lies. Even more alarming, they are lies backed by the threat of violence. Yes, Representative Green and her QAnon adherents are ready to defend their deranged lies with violence. They have expressed the desire to assassinate Speaker Pelosi and to publicly execute those who disagree with their malignant lies. They have even expressed a passionate desire to overthrow our constitutional democracy. Congresswoman Green indicated before last year's election that if Donald Trump lost, Americans may need to reclaim freedom with the price of blood. Marjorie Greene has harassed a survivor of Stoneman Douglas school shooting, calling him a coward, and proclaiming the massacre was staged as a plot to pass more gun laws. Yet her Republican colleagues believe she has the proper credentials and principles to serve on the Education and Labor Committee. Some will play both sides, but that is a false equivalent. I think it's clear that we need to draw the line at Jewish space lasers and calling for political assassinations, not policy differences. At least with one xenophobic racist, both sides were able to put country over party. The party of honest aid can no longer be honest with itself. Marjorie Greene and her fellow conspiracy theorists have saturated
that was a good line.
Lies. It's time to turn the tables and start talking about truth for a change. Gandhi liked to say, even if you are a minority of one, the truth is the truth. I urge everyone to join in defending truth. Stand up for truth, even if you're alone. I yield back.
Gentleman from Florida reserves. Gentlewoman from Indiana is recognized.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I yield 2 minutes to the gentleman from Texas, Mr. Babin.
Gentleman from Texas is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Well, you get an idea this way of the tenor of these proceedings. Earlier today, I think the Republicans would all have felt ever so much better if they just could have called Ilhan Omar that word and gotten it over with. And then maybe they would have been a little bit more accepting of the necessity of removing Marjorie Taylor Greene cucumber. But they didn't get to do that. They still want to do that. And somehow or another, they've convinced themselves that there is an equivalence between comments on American foreign policy relative to another country and comments about the overthrow of this government and political assassinations. you know, murder of members of this government. Yeah. That was I was so glad we got here in time to hear Louis Asparagus Gohmert, because frankly, he still is the chair for life, I think, of the Republican Fruit Loop Caucus. As Lee in New York points out, Gohmert, don't go down this road. I recall a road that Republicans went down that avoided Merrick Garland and sped toward Amy COVID Barrett. Yeah, there's a lot of roads that they've gone down. I didn't know that. Old radio term, but Lee in New York also asking, when you said that you had Marjorie Taylor Green cucumbers queued up, was that QAnon up? Yeah, Q means something entirely different now, doesn't it? Sumon noting, I wish someone would rise up and say, if your kid was killed in a massacre and a lunatic was taunting you, would you vote in favor of that lunatic? Precisely. And I don't know, I've missed a little bit of this, but has any Democrat stood up and noted that in that video in which she stalks David Hogg, that she claims to be carrying a concealed weapon in the federal zone of the District of Columbia? Has anybody? Because that's kind of important, being how it was a felony. Here comes Ilhan Omar.
And a half.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, this is not about one member. This is about who we are as a body and what we are as a democracy. This is about whether it is acceptable to cheer on and encourage an insurrection against our basic democratic process. This is about whether it is okay to demand members swear in on a Bible of a religion they do not practice. This is about whether it is okay to hold an assault rifle next to members' heads in a campaign ad and incite death threats against them. This is about whether it is okay to encourage the murder of the Speaker of the House. As a survivor of civil conflict and civil war, I know political violence and political rhetoric does not go away on its own. This is about whether or not we will continue to be a peaceful and functioning democracy. Thank you, and I yield back.
Gentlewoman yields back. Gentleman from Florida.
Good for her.
Gentlewoman from Indiana is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I yield 1 minute to the gentleman from Virginia, Mr. Good.
Gentleman from Virginia is recognized for 1 minute.
I'm proud to have taken my oath on that Bible, after which I do follow and try to live my life after. And I rise today to object to the left pattern of teaming up with the mainstream media to try to stifle the voices of conservatives.
Cover your nose, you sub-nosed COVIDiot.
Trying to remove President Trump. And today is trying to strip my friend Marjorie Taylor Greene of her committee assignments. It's only a matter of time till they start coming after everyday Americans. We travel down a dangerous road today when the majority party is threatening to make committee assignments for the minority. My friends across the aisle, as we have seen, and from one we just heard from, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, and by the way, I'm pretty sure this is the Lulu who replaced, the Britney Spears guy. It used to be Cantor, Eric Cantor. This is the teabagger who replaced Eric Cantor.
They've silenced all opposing viewpoints. Democrats control the House, the Senate, and the White House. If they wanted to deliver results for the American people, they could do it. But their agenda is clear. They don't want to govern. They want to rule and clamp down on any dissent to their radical agenda. And I yield back.
Gentlemen, the time has expired. Gentlewoman from Indiana reserves. Gentleman from Florida is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am pleased to yield 2 minutes to the gentleman from Missouri, Representative Bush.
The gentlewoman from Missouri is recognized for 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. St. Louis and I rise in defense of our nation's school children. I cannot sit idly by and allow white supremacy and hatred to have decision-making power over our students' futures. To my Republican colleagues, let history remember what you did in this moment. A prerequisite for appointment to these committees and for all that we do must be that you love and represent all people, meaning all people. We owe it to our children. We owe it to their parents to have a House Education and Labor Committee that is committed to fighting for a country where all children have an equitable education in an anti-racist society. Let me say that again, an intentionally anti-racist society. From the Ferguson-Florissant School District in St. Louis to the Normandy, Hazelwood, Riverview Gardens, Jennings, University City School Districts to St. Louis Public Schools, all of our school districts deserve better. Harris Stowe State University, Missouri, University of Missouri, St. Louis, our tech and trade schools, St. Louis University and Washington University, they deserve better because our teachers and our custodial workers, our cafeteria workers deserve better because our students who don't have a roof to sleep under at night, our students who don't have running water at home, our students who don't have enough to eat deserve better because those living with student debt and those who desire to go to college deserve better. Our parents, they deserve better. We cannot build an equitable anti-racist education system if a seated House Education and Labor Committee member incites violence through the perpetuation of racist lies in an attempt to overturn an election. We cannot build an equitable anti-racist society if a member of Congress endorses white supremacy. We need to strip them of their committee assignments. And then we must pass my resolution, H-Res 25, to investigate and expel them. Thank you, and I yield back.
Gentlewoman yields back. Gentleman from Florida.
She brought the
gentlewoman
heat.
From Indiana. Is
right. And it's going to go on like this. I'm not sure for how much longer. But the fact of the matter is, the Republicans can't talk about what Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber actually did. Here's fellow Georgia Republican Jody Heiss.
Many in this chamber who have made outrageous, hate-filled, and vile statements and comments over the past years and recent months in particular. For example, a Democrat member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee has repeatedly made blatant anti-Semitic statements. She still holds her position. The Democratic chairwoman of the House Financial
they
Services
weren't,
Committee
you see.
Encouraged supporters
I mean, let's
to
do remember
aggressively
that.
Assault anyone who
it wasn't
supported
anti-Semitic.
President Trump. She still holds her position. The Speaker of the House has called Republicans enemies of the state. She still has her position. While we watch cities in flames, businesses being destroyed, officers killed, and civilians attacked, a member of the majority party called for further unrest in the streets. She still has her position. I've got four pages of similar comments, and this is by no means exhaustive. Inflammatory rhetoric around here has become commonplace, unfortunately.
Has become?
Members of this House have absolutely crossed the line.
Jody, have you actually ever learned the history of this body?
The majority refuses to hold its own members accountable. That is a zenith of hypocrisy and injustice. And I call on
zenith? I'm pretty sure it's Curtis Mathis.
To oppose this resolution, and I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. Gentlewoman from Indiana Research, gentleman from Florida, is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I am pleased to yield 1 minute to the gentleman from Ohio, my friend Ms. Beatty.
Gentlewoman is recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker. It is a shame that we must use precious time on the floor of the People's House to address the inflammatory remarks of member
Representative Joyce Beatty,
Taylor Greene,
Columbus, Ohio.
But just as we are in the midst of three crises of the coronavirus, the economic distress, and social injustice, we must also act against a crisis of extremism and unhinged conspiracy theories. Disturbing and dangerous words and actions like those we have heard and seen from this individual in this House are below, Mr. Speaker, the dignity of a member of Congress. And as they did not stop when we were all sworn in, if anything, these backward views gained a national platform. Well, I stand here to tell you, I will stand up to bullies. Bullies who threaten students and threaten and celebrate the violence towards our speaker and our colleagues. Today, and yes, as a conscience of the Congress, it is important that we take this step to affirm that conspiracy theories and outrageous lies have no place in the Congress. No place. in the people's house. No place. No place.
Gentleman's term has expired.
Damn.
Gentleman from Florida reserves. Gentlewoman from Indiana is recognized.
Yield 1 minute to the gentleman from South Carolina, Mr. Norman.
Gentleman from
South Carolina
is recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the fourth day of February, here we go. We have a pandemic that's shutting down businesses all across this country. We have schools shut down, causing havoc with our
Ralph Norman, you
understand? We have a national debt of over $30 trillion. We have seniors wondering if their Social Security payment will be suspended due to anticipated bankruptcy. We have a Democratic Party focusing today and yesterday.
Oh, this guy's got an IQ that's falling by the minute.
And issuing executive orders.
We're going to go bankrupt as a nation, even though we print our own money and write the bankruptcy laws.
Shutting off our production of oil and gas. Allowing men to identify as women and go into any bank.
Oh, my!
And what is the majority spending the hard-earned tax dollars today?
How is it the women identifying as men don't get mentioned?
A member of our party who was duly elected by something purportedly not said before.
Oh, by the way, he's also a sub-nosed coup idiot.
Throw us all off the committees. Throw all of us off.
God, if we could.
American people see what you're doing. And this is nothing more than an abuse of power, than a party drunk with power. I yield back.
Gentleman yields back the balance of his time. A gentleman from Indiana reserves. Gentleman from Florida is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I'm pleased to yield 2 minutes to Representative Hayes from Connecticut.
Gentlewoman is recognized for 2 minutes.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today in support of this motion on behalf of my constituents in Connecticut's 5th District. The statements made by the representative from Georgia have amplified horrific and deeply dishonest rhetoric and empowered and mainstreamed fringe conspiracy theories about school shootings. Giving any member the platform to spread dangerous rhetoric only rewards and normalizes this behavior, places already vulnerable groups in danger, and further traumatizes survivors. There is no place in this House for a member that trivializes these events or refuses to publicly disavow her own words or apologize to those affected. Mr. Speaker, there are men and women on both sides of the aisle whom I strongly disagree with, colleagues who have made statements that have deeply offended me, yet I have never believed we should remove them from committees or this body. But today is different. We are forced to make this motion not because of a disagreement in values or opinions, but because the Republican Conference has refused to take any actions addressing dangerous comments made by a member, comments which have no place in common discourse and cannot be given a platform to be amplified. While I remain respectful of the voters in Georgia, we have a responsibility as a body to hold our own members accountable, and I would vote in the same way if a member of my own caucus had committed the same infractions. No member of Congress, Mr. Speaker, the House is not in order.
Oh.
House will be in order.
Gentlewoman, no member can continue. Of Congress should promote conspiracy theories or sow doubt about the validity of tragic mass casualty events like Sandy Hook, Parkland, and others. No parent should ever have to invite a member of Congress to visit their child's grave or touch the bullet-ridden clothing that their child wore to prove that their death actually happened. Mr. Speaker, the Speaker of this House always tells members to vote our district. Today, I vote as an act of conscience in defense of my district. I vote for the babies who left for school 8 years ago and never returned home, and the teachers who died trying to protect them. I will vote for millions of educators.
The gentlewoman is recognized for an extra 15 seconds.
Today, I will vote for millions of educators who stand bravely before students while they lead lockdown drills and whisper quietly to them while sheltering in place that school is still safe. I will vote yes on this resolution for the parents and the communities who want real debate that produces real solutions for keeping schools and communities safe.
Mr. Speaker, I yield back. Gentleman from Florida reserves. Gentlewoman from Indiana is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I yield 1 minute to my new colleague from Indiana, Ms. Spurz.
Gentlewoman from Indiana is recognized for 1 minute.
Mr. Speaker, as someone who grew up in a communist country where people were punished for expressing their opinions, I have an enormous appreciation for our First Amendment rights. This is a core principle our nation was founded on. I'm not like many things that my colleagues from both parties have to say. Sometimes I think these crazy things, but I still will vigorously defend their First Amendment rights and rights of free speech.
Imagine coming from a totalitarian state and then joining the Republican Party. Oh, my God. I really don't care what she has to say, because I care a lot more about what Johanna Hayes just had to say. And it's one of the it is one of those moments that is a shortcoming of a medium like radio, because you did not get to see the poise with which she held herself together. The ramrod spine, her hands clasped on the podium, her elbows thrust akimbo as she spoke truth and used every ounce of her power to keep from calling the godforsaken, blood-soaked Republicans the vicious animals that they are. Let's check in with Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Acknowledged that pain, the damage that she has caused, the violence she has advocated. I would have hoped that she would have realized, like so many of us have, the awe and gravity of serving in this institution, and that despite all the harm that the words and actions she's taken have caused, that now that she's a member of this body, she truly understands and is sorry she stalked a teenager who was a victim of a mass shooting. Sorry that she actually suggested that our leader of the House of Representatives should meet a bullet as her end. Sorry that she suggested that President Obama should have his life snuffed out. But none of that happened. And that is why she has forfeited the right to serve on committees in this House of Representatives. I yield back.
Gentleman from Florida reserves. Gentlewoman from Indiana is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I yield 1 minute to the gentleman from Georgia, Mr. Clyde.
Oh, ma.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today to oppose this unprecedented power grab orchestrated by the Democrats.
Unprecedented power grab.
My colleague from Georgia has spoken of in her past, but the past is past.
You know, this silly bastard and all of them who hoot about unprecedented. You know why this action, if it is unprecedented? Because it's been at least 150 plus years since anyone has risen in the House of Representatives to advocate the overthrow of the government. It matters not that she didn't say it on the floor. But on the floor, she did say that the election had been stolen. On the floor, Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber did add to the quantum of calls for violence that led to January the 6th. On January the 6th. So, yeah, and by the way, representing Clyde is another mask hole sub-nose cool idiot. Hey, can somebody please get the Republican caucus some fucking masks that'll stay up on their little needle noses? Here's Steny Hoyer.
Mr. Speaker, this is a sad day and a difficult day for the House of Representatives and for our country. I have had the great honor of serving this body for 40 years, and in that time, I have never encountered a situation like the one before us. Now, where a member has made such vile and hurtful statements, engaged in harassment of colleagues, and expressed support for political violence. None of us should take any pleasure in what we must do today. But to do nothing would be an abdication of our moral responsibility to our colleagues, to the House, to our values, to the truth, and to our country. A great forebearer of legislators, Edmund Burke, famously declared, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Yesterday, the Republican conference chose to do nothing. So today,
ouch,
the House must do something. I have heard some condemnation from across the aisle of the contents of Representative Green's statements. Some have condemned the white supremacist and anti-Semitic things she said and posted online. Some have condemned the falsehoods she shared about 9/11 and the horrific school shootings. But I have heard little from Republicans about the horrific statements made by their colleague making threats of violence against Democratic elected officials and her threatening conduct towards Representative Bush and others. Indeed, Mr. Speaker, there seems to be much silence when it comes to her incitement of political violence. In the Washington Post yesterday, columnist Greg Sargent wrote, and I quote, "Whatever happens to Green, Representative Green, the truth is unavoidable. Republicans have yet to offer a clear and unambiguous declaration that political violence is unacceptable and has no place in their ranks." And I've heard too much about process and not enough about accountability. No member ought to be permitted to engage in the kind of behavior that Representative Green has and face zero consequences. This vote can be a first step in correcting the error of those who so far have chosen to do nothing. A short while ago, Representative Green came to this floor to defend her indefensible conduct. I heard no apology. She claimed that we are here today only because of some things she wrote online before she ever ran for Congress. And if one's moral slate is wiped clean when one becomes a candidate for office. Regardless, the conduct we are judging today continued to occur even after Representative Green became a candidate and even after she was elected. Mr. Speaker, I urge my colleagues to look at this image.
Steny Hoyer has a huge blow up of a quote from Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber, and he's carrying it over so that the Republicans can't look away from it. It would be nice if the folks at C-SPAN would give us a close-up of it. There's a picture of Ilhan Omar.
I heard about motherhood today. Two of those women, between them, have six children. They're mothers.
It's a tweet.
One of them does not have children.
Defeat the Democrats slash Marjorie.
Asking for more housing,
and it's a picture of Marjorie Taylor Greene in color, juxtaposed alongside black and white photographs of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar. And Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber is wearing a black jacket, white blouse, dark sunglasses, and a machine gun. And it says, "The Squad's Worst Nightmare."
They are people. They are colleagues. And yes, you may have disagreements. But I don't know anybody, including Steve King, who you precluded from going on committees for much less.
I wouldn't say
this is an AR-15 in the hands of Ms. Green. This was on Facebook just a few months ago. That is a message of peace and reconciliation
and peaceful democratic dialogue. The squad's worst enemy, AR-15, in hand. I have never, ever seen that before. Is this a precedent-setting event? It is. Because the conduct, the tweeting, the QAnon Association, I heard the disavowal of QAnon, I learned more. AR-15, squad's worst nightmare. Is that what was intended to do? That each one of these ladies would have a nightmare about somebody with a gun? An AR-15 can carry up to a clip of 60 bullets. I urge my colleagues to look at that.
See, we don't do that.
And tell me what message you think it sends. Here she is, armed with a deadly assault rifle, pointing it toward three Democratic members. Now, the pictures are put together, you understand. They were not present. I understand that. And she captioned it, the squad's worst nightmare. Yes, some people are having nightmares. And fear. And some people who wanted to give other people nightmares committed sedition and broke into the House of Representatives and tried to stop us electing a president of the United States. These three faces are real people. There are three reasons we're here. But there are many other reasons we're here today. In 2019, during the same election cycle in which she ran, showed support for comments online that the quickest way to remove Speaker Pelosi from power would be, and I quote, a bullet to the head. Did any of you hear Steve King say anything like that? No. You removed him from all of his committees. But as I said, you did nothing. As a matter of fact, gave a standing ovation, as I understand. I wasn't there. What message does that send? What message does it send to have a standing ovation to give these three women nightmares? Indisputably, these are clear threats to commit or incite political violence, not from years ago, but just months ago. Imagine the pain that these members' families must be experiencing when they see pictures like this one. Imagine what her children think, their children, or when they know their loved ones are walking the halls.
Yeah, but Rashida Tlaib called Donald Trump a motherfucker.
So I ask my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, when they take this vote, imagine your faces on this poster. Imagine it's a Democrat with the AR-15. Imagine what your response would be, and would you think that that person ought to be held accountable? But when acquiescence to the suggestion of violence or any kind is allowed to go unchecked, it is a cancer that metastasizes on the body politic of our nation, as we saw just a few days ago on the 6th of January. A cancer. That's how Senate Republican Leader McConnell described it. He said loony lies and conspiracy theories are a cancer for the Republican Party and our country. McConnell, should we stand silent in the face of that kind of activity? He continued, somebody who suggests that perhaps no airplane hit the Pentagon on 9/11, that horrifying school shootings were pre-staged, and that the Clintons crashed JFK Jr.'s airplane, is not living in reality. It's not me talking. It's not a Democrat talking. It's Senator McConnell. This has nothing to do with the challenges facing American families or the robust debates on substance that can strengthen our parties. My colleagues across the aisle have an opportunity today to reclaim their party from the dangerous cancer of QAnon and violent conspiracy theories that promote and have demonstrably resulted in sedition and insurrection. Senator Romney, you remember Senator Romney? He was candidate for President of the United States on the Republican ticket, nominated in the Republican convention. He said of his party this week, "I think we should have nothing to do with Marjorie Taylor Greene and think we should repudiate the things she said and move away from her. Our big tent is not large enough to both accommodate conservatives and kooks." Not my word, his words. A Republican member of the United States Senate. Now, he's not a big buddy of Trump's, so apparently he didn't have to do what Trump suggested he do. And Senator Ernst, conservative woman from Iowa. She doesn't represent
noted hog deballer.
I don't want her to be the face of our party. I think this is a great time for us to really talk about what we want to see in the upcoming years and continue to build. We don't need people that are promoting violence or anything like that. That's a Republican conservative senator. Republican senator and former governor of Florida, Rick Scott, said, a conservative Republican senator. That's not what the Republican Party stands for. Let me suggest to you, if it's not, vote with us. Vote with the House, not Democrats. Vote with the House of Representatives. Vote with good order and peace. Furthermore, Senator Young of Indiana said, there ought to be no place in the Republican Party for the kind of views espoused by Representative Green. That's what McCarthy said when you kicked King off all of his committees. This is not something you haven't done. However, sadly, you left it to us to do your job. Representative Cole called her statements extraordinarily disturbing. He said that yesterday. It's an old quote. And Senator Thune asked his fellow Republicans in the House, do they want to be the party of limited government? I think the answer to that is yes. Or do they want to be the party of conspiracy theories and QAnon? Furthermore, Senator Young of Indiana said, there ought to be no place in the Republican Party for the kind of views espoused by Representative Green. That's what your Republican colleagues have said. This is not partisan. This is about principle. And you can shake your head as much as you want. This is not about party. It's about whether or not you will vote for decency and truth, not being members' worst nightmare. I hope we can do it together, all of us, embracing our humanity and our basic adherence to the Constitution. Edmund Burke, who I'd quoted earlier, said, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
It's the good men part that's the problem for the Republicans.
Nothing. I often share another passage spoken so long ago by Edmund Burke. When a new member arrives to serve in the House, it concerns the duty of a representative has to his or her constituents. His conclusion on that matter is that we owe them our unbiased opinion, mature judgment, and enlightened sense of conscience. What does your conscience tell you to do in light of this kind of assertion? Nothing? Burke told his own constituents that these virtues a representative does not derive from your pleasure, nor from the law and the Constitution. They are trust from providence for the abuse of which you are deeply answerable. Your representative owes you not his industry only, but his judgment, and he betrays it instead of serving you if he sacrifices it to your opinion. This is not about polling. This is not about your base. This is about your conscience and your moral judgment. In other words, each of us ought to look inside our hearts to the answer we know is right and is best for the House and for our country. If the Republican Party, for less toxic language, took committee assignments away from Steve King, should they do less?
I disagree that being a Confederate is less toxic.
There is no doubt that if somebody came to the Congress and had said before they came to the Congress, I am for violent revolution against the government of the United States of America, that your party would say that's not somebody we want to be associated with. That's not what she said. I do not assert that. But should we do less than you did for Steve King? For far less toxic language.
Again,
let
I disagree.
Us not do nothing. Mr. Speaker, let us do the right thing. I yield back the balance of my time.
Gentleman yields back the balance of his time. Gentleman from Florida reserves. Gentlewoman from Indiana is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I yield 1 minute to the gentleman from North Carolina, Mr. Budd.
Gentleman from North Carolina is recognized for 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, today is really about one party single-handedly canceling a member of the other party.
Yeah, fuck right off, Bud. That's Ted Budd from Greensboro, High Point, Salisbury, and Mooresville, North Carolina. I want to take a moment here. That was masterful. That is that, and for anybody who are, you know what, we need some term limits. That's why you don't have term limits. Because no one really touched the breadth and depth that Steny Hoyer just brought. He's probably, he's more conservative than I prefer. But I don't apply ideological purity tests in times like this. And if you have term limits, the wisdom of long service is canceled from the House or the Senate. And of course, it's monumentally anti-democratic, too. We term limited the President of the United States, and that was anti-democratic as well. I'll never give up on that idea. But I want to suggest a little bit of homework's the wrong word. But after the program's over, you can find it anywhere. Just ask Dr. Google. Read an English translation of Marcus Tullius Cicero's De Catilina on Catiline or against Catiline. Because watching this, it's the first thing that came to mind because I'm a classics nerd. Various and sundry representative bodies of various and sundry validity have dealt with problems like this in the past. And by no means am I comparing Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber to Catiline, because Catiline was really intelligent. But he also had, arguably, designs on the overthrow of the Senate of Rome, or at least that's what Cicero said, Cicero. It's very telling, though. It's very telling, because the Roman Senate wound up, well, Catiline's forces wound up, you know, engaging in warfare. If he had had an AR-15, I'm sure he would have loved to have had it, especially if the forces of the Republic did not. But it's instructive to read something like De Catilina, because Cicero, Cicero, asks, how long, O Catiline, are we expected to put up with your shit? And the answer was, not much longer. And as I intimated a few minutes ago, I don't like the comparison with Steve King, because flying a Confederate flag in his office is a visual manifestation of everything that Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber has said. Let's check in with Representative Deutsch.
But because it was a political decision he was willing to consider. And finally, we heard that Ms. Taylor Greene, that Representative Greene has apologized for this. She came to the floor today.
No, she hasn't.
She acknowledged that 9/11 happened. She acknowledged that school shootings are real. And she acknowledged that she learned some things about QAnon that she didn't know before. There was no apology. There is nothing to address any of the pain and hurt that she's done to my constituents and gun violence survivors in every part of this country and the families who lost loved ones. Mr. Speaker, we need to be here today. This hateful rhetoric is in the real world as well as outside of the halls of Congress, not just here. Memories of the lives we have lost to gun violence are being forsaken by those who baselessly claim those tragedies were false flag events. Online rants about anti-Semitism and Islamophobia and racism and conspiracy theories have manifested in real and violent acts. It's not a debating society that we're participating in. This has real impact in the real world. We cannot, and finally I close with this, Mr. Speaker, we're worried about precedent. So am I. So we should all be. And the precedent of rewarding a member of the House by giving her a platform of a congressional committee to amplify dangerous conspiracy theories is one we should never set. Leader McCarthy said so himself. I remind my colleagues again, 2 years ago he said, any hatred, we take action. Unfortunately, the only action taken by Republican leadership has been to appoint Representative Greene to two powerful committees. This resolution condemns the practice of promoting extreme ideologies, conspiracy theories, and anti-government rhetoric. The resolution proclaims that there is no place for such conduct in this Congress or in society. And when Ms. Greene came to the floor today and compared the media to QAnon, it is a reminder of just how important this action is that we're about to take. This is why we must adopt House Resolution 72. I yield back the balance of my time.
It yields back. All time for debate has expired. Pursuant to House Resolution 91, the previous question is ordered on the resolution. The question is on the adoption of the resolution. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The ayes have it. The resolution. Gentlewoman from Indiana is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I ask for the yeas and nays.
Pursuant to Section 3S of House Resolution 8, the yeas and nays are ordered. Members will record their vote by electronic device.
And so now we wait to see if there are any Republicans of conscience. There might be one or two. There might be. It would be nice if there were a couple. Adam Kinzinger, maybe. I'm not a fan. And this is a piece of, understand that this is a piece of political theater that the Democrats were maneuvered into. What Steny Hoyer referred to is absolutely true. At a meeting of the Republican caucus yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke, Cucumber. And was given a standing ovation. Meanwhile, the Republican caucus also tried to strip Liz Cheney, again, not a member of the fan club, tried to strip her of her position of power within the Republican caucus because she had the unmitigated nerve to point out that Donald Trump incited an insurrection. Her, they attacked. Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber, they gave a standing ovation. This is who the Republican Party is. But the Democrats didn't want to be in this position. but they were forced into it. And it is an ugly dichotomy. On the one hand, they take the action that is that was debated here and that's being voted on now. Or they stay silent and hope that she'll just disappear into the... But she won't. She's a loudmouth, okay? She is a show pony. She is a walking, talking, babbling, gurgling fundraising machine. And the Republican Party does not want to lose all those sweet, sweet, yummy, tasty QAnon dollars that are flowing into their coffers. You know, a little nod, a little wink, a little harumph. Because the QAnon goonies are the Republican base. Make no mistake. I've referred to this time and time again, and I will go back to it again. Before the 2016 election, in a Breitbart TV, radio, what the fuck ever appearance, Steve Bannon and Milo Yiannopoulos were talking, and those two, particularly Steve Bannon, should know because he was actively engaged in data surveillance through Cambridge Analytica. Those two said that more than half of the Republican base were white nationalists. They weren't lying. They knew their own. And so if the Democrats had simply hoped that she would go away if they ignored her, and make no mistake, ignoring someone and hoping that they'll go away works once in a while. But not in a case like this. And so now, when this motion succeeds, when this resolution is approved, she will become a martyr. And there will be a massive advertising, messaging campaign in defense of this woman who called for the slaughter of the Speaker of the House, and in defense of this woman who, as Steny Hoyer noted, promoted her campaign via a rifle, a semi-automatic assault rifle, pointed at three Democratic members of the House of Representatives. She's going to be a martyr. And she's going to be all over the place, and it'll be a matter, she will be the cause célèbre on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and on Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, and on Newsmuck, and on Sinclair. And it will only amplify her sedition. And it will keep the Republicans, the maggots, the QAnon, the cucumbers, the three percenters, the oath keepers, whipped up into a white, and I do mean white, hot fury. That was the dilemma that the Democratic majority in the House faced. I had a note from Matt in San Francisco a little bit ago. Wait a goddamn minute. Okay. So the party that boundlessly supported a president that did unprecedented things on a daily basis is concerned about an unprecedented action in the House? Let me break it down. If any of us posted online that we wanted to put a bullet in our boss's head, we would be out of a job the same day. Spare me the pearl clutching, sit down, shut up, and be grateful you get to keep your insane colleague in the House. And they have to keep her. That's absolutely right. They have to keep her. They want to keep her. Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber is the future of the Republican Party. She is its beating heart and soul. She's what the Party of Lincoln has become. Since there's been some Party of Lincoln babble back and forth. This is our future. This is a Democratic majority in the House trying to hold back a seditious tide. Trying to build a dike against it. Damn. You know? The 800-pound gorilla in the room, Steve in New York, says, the GOP, the party of male and female saltines, Democrats, women and men of color, Muslims, Latin women, white men, white women, LGBT folks. Yeah. The Democratic Party looks like America. The Republican Party looks like America 160 years ago. 170 years ago. But I never stand for ahistoricity. And it is ahistorical to say that never in the history of that body has blah, 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 blah. Because there have been beatings on that floor. There have been knife fights on that floor. There have been guns drawn on that floor. And make no bones about it, if the GOP has their way or had their way, there would be guns, and there have been guns in that room prior to this day. That is why the Republicans, some of them, threw such purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy fits when the magnetometers went up at the entrance, the members' entrance to the House. Because Republicans have been carrying guns onto the floor of the House of Representatives for God alone knows how long. And it is a wonder that gunfire has not erupted, that one of them hasn't reached into their coat and squeezed off a few rounds. This is what they fear. Steve from Georgistan says, Trump will take the quarter of a billion that he raised post-election and primary any right-wing coward that shows a spine. And you know what, Brother Bishop? Steve's absolutely right, and it speaks so poorly of the rhetorical skills of these Republicans. Retail door-to-door politics will and can outstrip massive advertising campaigns. The best example of that is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Representative Crowley held that district for quite some time and did not expect a meaningful primary challenge back in 2018 because, hell, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez didn't have any money. But what she did have was an intimate knowledge of the fact that she lived in a closely concentrated congressional district and could do old-fashioned retail politics. She and her team could go door to door to door to door, knock on doors, shake hands, kiss babies, what have you. And that she could win that way. Meanwhile, Crowley doesn't do much of anything, expecting a boat race. And he lost his primary to plain old-fashioned American press-the-flesh politics. Meeting people, shaking a hand, putting a hand on an arm, looking people in the eye and saying, tell me what you want, tell me what you need. And in her district, her politics played extremely well. By comparison, the district that I live in, or better yet, the second congressional district of West Virginia, is an absolute booger to campaign in, because it runs all the way from the eastern panhandle of West Virginia through Charleston and a little ways north. And it's almost impossible to do old-fashioned retail door-knocking politics. But when these, with regard to what Stephen Georgia Stan said, they're afraid that he'll take his money and he'll primary them. He will primary them not from the right. He will primary them from somewhere beyond the bleacher cheap seats, out next to the insane asylum. Because that's what you have to be to earn the endorsement of the orangutan. God Almighty. Here we are, huh? And thank you very kindly to John. And thank you to Steve and Georgia Stan, Ms. Karen, little Cletus. We've gotten off the schneid a bit. That $747 fundraising hole now has it's been reduced by about $21. So we're down to $726. Thank you both very kindly. Way, way, way back at the beginning of the program, Billable Rick said, wow, you got a jumbo airliner-sized funding goal for this evening. Hey, y'all, take out your debit cards and help kill this deficit unless you want this show to be turned into Q Airlines and go the way of the Q Dodo Bird. I wonder if, speaking of which, I wonder if the folks at Qdoba have rethought maybe the name of that franchise. You know, that's the poor person's Chipotle. Yeah. Albert in Rhode Island asked a little bit ago, do you think all those Christian House members remember that God commanded us not to tell lies? Oh, they forgot about that a long time ago. And Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, when the traitors pose for their picks, their pose isn't militia or military. They want to be gangsters. They think they're playing a video game. Oh, the drama. Yeah, that's what that poster from Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber was all about. Yeah. Oh, and the jackass from South Carolina. I don't know what men who think they're women had to do with this motion, but he did work it in there because I guess it raises money in South Carolina, Stan. But it does remind me that that body needs a trans person in it to make them look at them every fucking day. And yeah, Flavio reminds us of the words of Cicero. Quousque tandem abure Carolina patientia nostra. Quandio etiam puriste tuus nos eludet, quem ad finem sese effrenta iactabit audacia. How long, O Catiline, do you mean to cease abusing our patience? How long is that madness of yours still to mock us? When is there to be an end of that unbridled audacity of yours swaggering about as it does now? God, wouldn't it have been inspiring if one of ours could have gotten up and, you know, said that? The tally is rising. One Republican, I guess it's Adam Kinzinger, one Republican has voted yay on the resolution. And so the numbers continue to mount. So far, it's 121 to 114. How sad. How sad. So we'll take a moment here. and check in with Brad and Desi. Because this is, after all, a Thursday, so we have the Green News Report. And come back, maybe some of your thoughts, if you'd like to, on this madness. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. 844-843-4676. Toll free, the stress line. And, well, we'll just see how it goes.
It's Thursday, February 4, 2021.
So as the Biden administration prepares a whole-of-government approach to combating climate change, the Democratic majority will pursue a whole-of-Senate approach as well.
Democrats take control, pledge to act on climate. Automakers drop bid to block California's vehicle emission standards. Coal will be gone from the U.S. power grid by 2033, says new report. Plus, COVID lockdowns cleared the air, but also increased global warming.
What? All of those confusing stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Democrats are also in the position to do something about climate change. That's right, motherfucker. We're coming to take your straws.
That's right. Suck it up. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, good news because COVID cleared the air but made global warming worse? What?
Yes. So, yes, COVID lockdowns in 2020 led to temporarily cleaner air around the world.
It was beautiful.
It was. And now a new study shows that it also led to a slight uptick in global warming.
Why?
The drastic drop in fossil fuel use also caused a drop in toxic particulate air pollution. Those are teensy particles that are spewed from tailpipes, coal plants, and industry that helps create that brown haze over cities. Those particles also cool the atmosphere slightly by blocking the sun's heat. So yes, cleaning up the air will warm the planet a tiny bit, but it will kill a lot fewer people from toxic air pollution.
So pollution is needed to stop global warming.
No, pollution is not needed to stop global warming. Only stopping the use of fossil fuels will stop global warming.
I told you I was confused.
Big moves underway in the auto industry in the wake of General Motors' announcement last week that it will phase out production of conventional gas and diesel vehicles and shift to all electric by 2035. Toyota, Fiat Chrysler, and several other automakers announced this week that they will drop their legal effort to block California from setting more stringent fuel economy and vehicle tailpipe emission standards. That's a special authority granted to the state under the Clean Air Act that the Trump administration attempted to revoke.
So they were playing along with the Trump administration just to suck up to the Trump administration?
Yep. Ford, Honda, BMW, Volkswagen, and Volvo had already committed to abide by California's tougher standards. The new move signals that the auto industry may finally be ready to work with President Biden's effort to reduce greenhouse gas emissions that cause dangerous man-made climate change. The Trump administration in March finalized a rollback of Obama-era fuel economy standards, which the Biden administration says it is moving swiftly to rewrite.
Got it. So now they're sucking up to Biden.
In politics, Senate Republicans finally agreed to a power-sharing arrangement that formally hands over control of Senate committees to Democrats, who have a one-vote majority with Vice President Kamala Harris. On the Senate floor on Wednesday, Democratic Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said he has directed incoming Democratic committee chairs to put climate change at the top of their agendas.
I promise that any action we take on infrastructure in particular, will prioritize green infrastructure and the creation of green jobs and create many jobs, good-paying jobs, we will.
Good-paying jobs, we will? Is he Yoda?
This Democratic majority will compel the Senate to urgently address climate change, beginning with work in all of the relevant committees.
The U.S. Senate also approved former Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg as Secretary of Transportation, making him the first millennial and first openly gay person confirmed to a cabinet post. But most importantly, Buttigieg will be the first transportation secretary to openly accept climate science and advocate for the necessity of building climate-resilient infrastructure. And that matters, because new research shows that man-made climate change is causing sea level rise to accelerate, with oceans rising faster than scientists' most pessimistic forecasts. Revised estimates published this week in the journal Ocean Science show coastal economies around the world have even less time to prepare for increased flood risks than previously thought, even as many are already struggling to adapt to more frequent floods, storms, and tidal surges. The researchers warn that trillions of dollars worth of insured property now faces accelerating flood risks and suggests countries need to move even faster to cut their greenhouse gas emissions. Finally, good news for things that breathe.
That's me.
Polluting coal is on track to disappear from the U.S. power grid by 2033 as the global shift to renewable energy accelerates. That's according to a new report from Morgan Stanley. Coal supplies about 20% of U.S. electricity currently. The report projects that coal will be replaced largely by renewable energy sources that will supply 40% of U.S. electricity by 2030 and more than 50% by 2035.
See you, coal. For much more on all of those reports and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Lord, how long can this go on?
How did I know that they were going to bump out with that? How did I know? Yeah, we're nearing the halfway point of this Thorn in the Side Thursday. Let's take a quick peek over and see how the resolution's doing. It's up to 167 to 150. Two, count 'em, two Republicans have found their moral center. And I'm sure that there will be attempts made to strike at them at some point. I have no doubt whatsoever. But there are some other. There's a piece of breaking news that just came across the wires that needs to be shared. This is kind of a big deal, I guess. The folks at Johnson & Johnson have sought emergency approval for their single dose COVID-19 vaccine, and they have said that their vaccine is safe and gives strong protection against moderate to severe COVID-19. And, well, it overall, I think it comes in at about 65%, depending on which demographic you're looking at, 75% effectiveness. It's a far cry from the 94, 95% of the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines. But remember, and this is kind of important, remember that the flu vaccine that many of us take every year, it's about 60% effective. So it's not that far different. So the Food and Drug Administration, according to the Associated Press, is asking its independent advisors to publicly debate all the data behind the single-dose shot, just like its competitors were put under the microscope, before it decides whether to greenlight a third vaccine option in the U.S. Dr. Peter Marks, FDA's vaccine chief, has cautioned against making comparisons to the other vaccines. With so much need to get this pandemic under control, I think we can't ignore any tool in the tool chest. We will have to do our best to try to make sure that we find the populations that benefit the most from each of these vaccines and deploy them in a very thoughtful manner. And I can see a situation in which the vaccine with its lower effectiveness rate could be deployed to people less likely to be negatively impacted by the virus, but still provide sufficient immunity. Young people, you know, college kids, 30-somethings, people with no comorbidities. It could be very effective. Hell, if you showed up outside my door right now and said you can have it, I'd say Agnes is right in there. She goes first. But say somebody like Ferg, perfect. But the bottom line with all of these vaccines, the caveat that comes with it all, is that we have to remember that we are going to have to continue to mask. We're going to have to continue to social distance until we've got a vaccination rate north of 75% of the American population. And that's kind of the crapshoot of all of this, because the same people who clicked like on Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber's post on Facebook pointing an AR-15 at three sitting members of the House who happen to all three be women of color, well, they're the same people who say they won't take the vaccine. During yesterday's coronavirus update from the White House, one of the reporters asked a question pointing out that some recent polling data shows that about 50% of the people in the United States say, hell yeah, bring it on, I'll take it. And that there's something like 24, 25% of Americans go, hell no, no way, you can't make me. Because Q done told me it's got liquid barcodes in it that can expose me to the Jewish space lasers. Oh my God, the very idea that these right-wing goobers stood up in this debate and said, oh, what about, yeah, but what about Ilhan Omar? She criticized Israel. You got to wonder who some of these Republicans' real allegiance is. I guess the check clears. I mean, AIPAC writes checks. It just does. It's not anti-Semitic. It's a fact. But they tried to say, yeah, but what about Ilhan Omar in regard to a woman who said that the Paradise Fire was started by a Jewish space laser? A Jewish space laser. Whoop! You get the idea they're not very good at it, but the problem is they don't have to be very good at it. Because they're dealing with a base that pretty much picks its teeth with its toenail clippings. There you go. Merca. But I... Fascinating day. And there's stories out there that we need to get to, because there's a couple that sort of flew under the radar because I'm just as guilty as anybody, I guess, in that I can be diverted from by the shiny sparkling thing in the daily news feed. Did you know that there were arguments in the Supreme Court yesterday? Yeah. Did you know, do you remember that probably sometime about June, unless a little bit of sanity can be scrounged up, scraped up from the bottom of that dried up pickle barrel that is the Supreme Court of the United States, sometime long about late June, and you know, they may time it out so that it's on the anniversary of the affirmation of the Affordable Care Act, sometime in probably late June, we will get a decision striking down the Affordable Care Act in the middle of a pandemic and throwing, tens of millions of Americans out of their health care coverage. When's the last time any of us thought about that? Had a note coming in from Earther. Republicans are the Sith on meth. Democrats are Boy Scout Book Club. God bless the Black Caucus members, though. Firebrands. Yeah, remember, Marjorie Taylor Greene cucumbers, and she and her staff attacked Cori Bush and her staff because they were next-door neighbors in a congressional building, in one of the congressional office buildings, and Marjorie Taylor Greene cucumber can't even get along with her next-door neighbor. And I'm sure it would offend the sense of ideological purity of a lot of us to know that, in some cases, the staff members of neighboring, disagreeing Congress critters actually get along, and they'll bring cupcakes. God, congressional staffers love nothing more than a cupcake. It's amazing. And they'll do little nice things for each other, and hey, how are you? I remember Lamar Alexander used to have an ice cream chest, you know, like you see in a convenience store. And it would be kept stocked by a creamery from Tennessee. And every staffer I ever talked to said, oh, yeah, we love going. We love taking something down to Senator Alexander's office. He's got ice cream. Remember, the entire government of the United States actually runs on the backs of 23-year-olds. Steve in New York could probably tell us a little bit about that. But there is that sort of collegiality. Because it's like a hill full of roommates. It's the biggest reality television show in the history of the world. But they couldn't. But Marjorie Taylor Greene cucumbers bunch couldn't even get along with Cori Bush's staff. You know, because Marjorie Taylor Greene cucumbers bunch were white, whereas Cori Bush's. Well, Cori Bush is black and probably was doing some diversity stuff and had several black staff members. Couldn't get along. And so that's why Cori Bush stood up, got 2 minutes instead of a minute and a half, and called for her colleagues to sign on to the motion, to the resolution calling for the expulsion of Marjorie Taylor Greene cucumber. And I think it would be an act of courage so to do. Yeah. Let's run over. Like I said, we're past the halfway point. My God, we've got this $726 fundraising hole. I'm sorry to mention it. But I fret. And if we could do even a day's worth of fundraising for this week, it would be great. So, you know, it's there if anybody wants to help. But let's check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. How about you?
Oh, well, getting used to this cold weather before spring comes.
But the thing is, spring will come down there before it gets here. We're looking at some 7-degree nights next week, Wednesday. It's going to be brisk.
Seven.
Yeah, I know. The people in Vermont and North Dakota and northern Minnesota and Wisconsin are going, oh, shut up.
Well, yeah, that sounds a little uncomfortable.
Oh, it will be. It will be. Well, it's going to be especially uncomfortable back here. You know, in the fabulous Horn Studios, I mean.
Do you have any insulation?
No. I mean, there's some perfunctory insulation, but there's great big double pane windows in the studio, and it's a little brisk, like I said. Not much under the floor either. So when the thermometer up on that hangs up toward the ceiling on the wall on the atomic clocks is 62, which it is right now, down here on the floor, it's a good 5 to 8 degrees colder.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. It stays cold.
Till about July, yeah.
We're in this cycle here. I don't know about you, but it rains every 3 days here. And it's cold and damp. and you know, it's that humid cold, and it's penetrating. It comes up through the floorboards and all that. But you know, it'll be hot as hell soon, so I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, we'll be complaining about that. You know, I don't complain about the heat. I just don't. I love it.
Well, look, now you'd be able to wear, you know, airy garments.
And, so. No, don't do that, because people tune away when we talk about the trans stuff. So.
Well, I didn't say that. I'm just saying airy. You could be dressed up like Jesus. I don't know, you know.
You're not helping, Todd, because he wore a dress.
Well, go to North Philly, man. There's plenty of guys walking around, you know, big dudes. Like, you wouldn't say shit to them with them big prison beards and shit.
Yeah, I'm guessing their tans are better than mine.
Slightly.
Oh, okay, just checking.
Just checking. Oh, hey, so yeah. This is,
Go. No. Gotcha.
This whole Marjorie Greene thing bothers me for a lot of reasons, but. This, you know, we're in a, to me, this is like another constitutional crisis in a way, because that is who the people voted for. Her district, that's who they voted for. That's who they want.
Yeah. Well, they wanted any Republican, and when the other Republican bowed out, she was guaranteed a seat in the Congress. And so she just doubled down on the crazy. But this is a little surprising. So far, we have 6 Republicans joining the Democrats on the resolution. It's presently at 222 to 193. 5 Democrats still haven't voted, and 10 Republicans haven't. Ooh, it just went to 7 Republicans. Imagine that. There are 7. There are 7 Republicans, Todd.
I didn't think it would be this good. Okay, that's good news, actually. That's good news.
One wonders how senior they are, because Kevin McCarthy is not going to be happy.
Okay. Kevin McCarthy has proven himself now to be a weak individual. He doesn't even sound strong. And I'm not going to get into the gender stuff, but he, you know, he's just a weak one. You know, from as far as I see it. Because I'm thinking, what are these people, in other words, you know, history is going to prove that they are recalcitrant, lackeys, maybe not forward-thinking. History is not going to look kind on these people, I don't think.
I would like to hope so. We say that sometimes, but it's, you know, that's another one of those moments where I reach over and grab the old busted magic eight ball, and it still says, answer hazy, ask again later.
Well, can you dissect that a little more?
Well, what I mean by that is the future is always a borning, and so we don't know which way we're hoping that with the Biden administration that we will see a return to what is lovingly referred to as regular order, but it is far from guaranteed. They're going to run on Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be the face of the GOP for the next 2 years. The Democrats were out of control. They wouldn't do anything about an anti-Semitic woman who criticized Israel and called the termites and please save the Republic. Put the Republicans back in control of Congress. And there's and you know, the odds are probably 60-40. That happens in 2022, you know, because on our side, Todd, we're not very good at this. Maybe we're getting better. You know, maybe with the leaders, the desperately needed leadership of African-American voters, we're going to get better at this and we'll stay engaged. But 2 years from now, we'll be seeing, you know, oh, he's trying to destroy the whole gosh darned economy. I just got a story here that Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have introduced a measure calling for President Biden to declare a national emergency over climate. Personally, I support that. I think it's long overdue. I mean, this revelation from, or this, wasn't a revelation. I mean, there weren't any clouds parting or anything. But this business of GM saying that they're following in the footsteps of, I think, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, that by, what, 2035, they won't be making any internal combustion engines anymore?
I saw that. I was very happy to see that.
That was a big damn deal. And then GM followed suit and said, yeah, us either. And if they stick to their guns on that, that's going to be a big deal. And 2035 is only, get this, 14 years away. There's a decent chance that most of the people listening to me right now will still be here when that great day comes.
Well, I guess I'm like you. I thought that was an important story because of the time frame, the size of the company. Because remember, General Motors is one of the largest corporations on the planet. So this comes on the heels of this new administration letting everyone know what type of fleet vehicles they're going to be purchasing and using. See, but I just can't. Biden is moving forward. I'm feeling very good about this. If they get out of his way, he's making some big changes. If you understand what I mean about these vehicle fleet purchases, they are renewable energy and electric EV vehicles, like big trucks, everything. So, you know, maybe there was some type of backroom talk with GM. I don't know, don't care. But I mean, they're moving in the right direction. Because these people, you know, some people are still fighting to burn oil and gas. And, you know, they're not the future. They are not the future. So I'm feeling good about that. I really am. But you know the story I'm talking about, I hope.
Tell me.
Okay, I guess it was a week ago, maybe a week and a half, Biden made clear that there were going to be massive purchases of vehicles, fleet vehicles. They were all going to be green or greenish, some totally green. And you know, and like he said, you know, this is pragmatic. He's got good people around him. In other words, this is the plan for the federal government, and, you know, their procurement, you know, they purchase a lot of things. So now we have our largest auto manufacturer, or one of them, following the lead, saying, okay, we're phasing out gasoline engines, you know, in conjunction with this new push from the federal government. So that's a job creator. So these folks who keep claiming, you know, they love to say, well, green, you know, you're going to, you know, take our jobs, and the pipelines are taking our jobs. And you often don't hear the other side, well, you know, these are new jobs. We need to invest in new technology, and these pipelines, you know, pipes leak. And a pipeline is much better than over the road, because they claim, I don't know if I'm getting off on a tangent, but this is important. That last pipeline deal a few months ago, maybe a little more than a few months, it wasn't Excel, but it was another one. It leaked shortly after they were finished.
Oh, you know why that is? Because it is a fundamental law of physics, generally science, that pipelines leak.
Exactly.
And when the engineers start examining, doing their risk analysis and stuff, they don't ask if the pipeline blows up. They ask when the pipeline blows up. Just like with the humongous multi-billion gallon dam that holds back multi-9 billion gallons of toxic waste, and, you know, as the crow flies, it might be 30 miles from me.
Oh, no.
You know, the engineers for the coal companies. The engineers for the coal company, when they put their report together, they didn't say if the dam breaks. They say when the dam breaks. It's kind of like Rockabye Baby that way. You remember the lyrics to Rockabye Baby.
When the dam breaks. Sure, when the dam breaks.
When the bow breaks, the cradle will fall. Not if the bow breaks. You got a baby in a cradle on a skinny-ass little tree limb. The bow is going to break. And so it's pipelines, earthen dams, you pick one. You know, well, when the bomb, it's not if the bomb train explodes, as we learn to our horror, and people learn to their ongoing tragedy in places like Lake Megantic in Quebec. It's not if the bomb train explodes, it's when the bomb train explodes.
Yeah.
That if versus when thing is a real big deal that we just try not to think about a whole lot.
Well, I think about it, and those are two large strikes against that type of idea. We all know, I mean, that's why we have plumbers. All pipes at some point will fail. And then there's the response time. You know, what if it fails and it's in the middle of nowhere? You know, it's leaking all that oil into our aquifers. And then the other side of it is that, you know, all I've heard is Biden, he just cost American jobs by canceling that pipeline. But see, most of those jobs are temporary in that once they get it set up, they only hire a few people to monitor the systems that are supposed to tell you when the pipe is ruptured. And it's not like the jobs that are created when you transport it, that nasty stuff over the ground, you know, on rail or truck or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a disingenuous argument. And so I'm glad that this administration is moving forward. I really feel that he's going to pull some of these people in the middle when people see the forwardness of these plans that he has.
Well, consider what has already happened in the House on this resolution this evening. I think you may be right, and it may be indicated by what's happening even as we speak. 10 Republicans stepped up and voted to impeach Donald Trump. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me bring the audio in.
Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
So the resolution passed, like I said, 10 Republicans voted to impeach Nitwit Nero. 11 just voted to remove Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber from her House assignments, from her committee
assignments. It just went up one?
It went up one.
I didn't think it was going to be this good. This bodes well.
Yeah, it does. They're still going to be Republicans, and that's okay. But that one more is better than one less. Now, you know, the ideologically pure, well, I'm sure will disagree. But I take my victories where I can get them. And, you know, you're talking about things getting better. Darlene just dropped a note by and said, hey, we can even contact and email the White House now. Wasn't that a non-possibility after that orange turd stole the election? Please, we must never allow Republicans to regain power again. They're already threatening and saying that the gavel will switch hands again. They stated that several times today. Please, that must never happen again. And I agree wholeheartedly.
That's right, Darlene. I don't, you know, they don't have a party anymore. I mean, not that as we know it. And because same people, they're going to, you know, this feels normal. This normalness, this back to business as usual. It wasn't perfect, but my God, what a breath of fresh air. And it's going to start to sink in with reasonable people, you know. And that's all it's going to take is, you know, we got to peel off a few off the top. Because I never thought there'd be 10 or 11 Republicans voting in the House to, you know, depose that woman. And it's a disgrace that she's in there, but she's in there. So the other thing, though, that I'm still not feeling good about, and we're always going to have, I think we're always going to have this hardcore 36 to 38%.
I think they've always been there.
They've always been there. They've always been there.
That's probably the same. I'm guessing. But you got to remember that secession was not majority popular in the southern states, I don't think. But instead, a bunch of poor-ass dirt farmers who didn't own slaves were dragged off to hell holes like Shiloh and Chickamauga and Antietam and the Wilderness and Gettysburg by their aristocratic betters. It's probably, this country has probably been afflicted from jump with about one-third of the country sicker in the head than a rabid dog is in the brain. I think I just made an analogy accidentally on purpose.
Accidentally on purpose. But see, once again, you're right about the whole Reconstruction. It should have lasted longer than 15 minutes. You know, that just wasn't long enough. And that's how we have this lost cause nonsense. And we let that bullshit fester. And you bring me right around to the point that I was headed toward. You know, we have forgotten when they planted that Confederate flag in the Capitol on January 6th. These people operate by symbols. That was symbolic to them. Very symbolic. That was a win.
Yeah, just like the new conspiracy that they're peddling, that on March 4th. We're going to get Trump back because that's when the non-corporation America inaugurates presidents.
Well,
wish I was kidding. I'm not.
And the other thing, I don't know. How do you explain when people try to compare the protest during the summer to what they consider a protest and what is legitimate by storming the Capitol? I mean, that's one part of it. Okay, they stormed the Capitol, and they did what they said black folks do. They looted, and they pillaged, and they destroyed property. And that's on one level. But on the other level is that they disrupted the process of...
They tried to overthrow the government of the United States of America, the constitutional government of the United States of America. That's a little different. That's a little different than torching an auto zone.
They don't get it. They will not verbalize that. Of course, a lot of them just don't get it.
They can't. They're too separate. They can't, Todd, because they're too separated from reality. And the other, and you know, that's another manifestation of we're really not very good at this. And that is the fact that it's fact that a lot of the damage, a lot of the burning. We know it's been discussed, it's been examined, investigated. People have even been prosecuted, particularly in Minneapolis. Video evidence. We've talked about it on this program. Most of that violence, most of the torchings were not perpetrated by angry people of color. They were perpetrated, and God knows they've bragged about it, by the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command's headquarters staff, and by the Proud Boys. Canada, in just the last 48 hours, Canada has declared the Proud Boys to be a terrorist organization. And remember, the Proud Boys were founded in Canada.
Didn't know that. Wow.
You know, we were talking about the Jewish space lasers a little bit ago. Sparky jumped in and said, Pacific Gas and Electric is Jewish. Who knew? Yeah.
But these people are really, like, once again, remember, like, on WinAmp, Alex Jones is still the number one. He's been number one since I've been dealing with WinAmp since they started in the mid to late 90s. And they went offline for a while. They came back, and they give the raw numbers: who's listening, how many, the count. Alex Jones is always at the top, and you know we had these people are hardcore. This is what they believe. You know they're into it. That's what they want. But this whole business about, like what you said, the FBI arrested the folks that set fire and shot up the police precinct in Minneapolis. But when you present the facts to certain people, they just say, oh, that's fake news. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. That's what they say. I just don't believe it. You know, because in their mind, this is why I like to joke. I say, you know, it was a goddamn shame where those Black Lives Matter people stormed the Capitol and killed police, wasn't it? And they go, yeah, yeah.
You know, only they didn't.
Right, like you said, it can't get it through their head. It doesn't. See, a lot of this pain that we're dealing with, once again, is that many people, their values and belief systems are being confronted with facts at a breakneck pace. And it makes them uncomfortable, and then they lash out, and they're angry. And it goes to the old fable, not fable, the old adage that, you know, the truth hurts.
No, it does.
But
I mean, as we go forward, you know, you have to consider, I mean, there is no leadership in the Republican Party, at least not in the House. I don't like Moscow Mitch McConnell, but my God, in terms of pure leadership skill, he is orders of magnitude ahead of and above Kevin McCarthy. I've taken to thinking of Kevin McCarthy as House Minority Amoeba Leader, or House Minority Leader. You get the idea. No spine, single cell.
He's not doing it.
Because he said that Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber's opinions do not represent the views of my party. Bullshit! 199 members just put the lie to Kevin McCarthy's words. 199 members of the Republican Party just voted and said that, yes, putting up a Facebook post, showing yourself pointing an AR-15 at three Black female members of Congress, they endorsed that. That's who they are. And we're back to that Maya Angelou quote you and I keep talking about. Mm-hmm. When someone tells you who they are, believe them. So is it Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber's position that she only did all those odious, noxious, hateful things to get a vote? So in other words, she's dishonest as fuck, and she'll do anything to win? Is that it? Because we came close to impeaching Richard Nixon over that attitude. It was the Jews, Henry, the Jews.
Well, okay, you know, you're bringing up some good points. It's like they're so far off base, you can't even explain to them what they're doing and espousing and backing up is wrong. They have all these equivocations. It's like, no, you understand what you just said, right? And then, of course, words are words, but they're actions. Oh, and let's take a real big rewind, really. And I'm serious because this is not off on a tangent. This is part of the problem. Well, when the Charlottesville incident happened, there should have been at least one day of stop. Like, everyone stopped. No commerce, no nothing. Stores closed, no school, and that was a time when if the president didn't do it, then the Speaker of the House, someone high up in the military should have explained to people, since apparently they had taken leave of their fucking senses, that this is what people are saying. This is the history, and this is what people are saying. You may like this. Maybe it does make you feel good, but you are wrong, and you are not acceptable in our society in 2020, in 2019.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if I'm hurting your feelings, but you are absolutely wrong. In other words, there are always different perspectives. There's always two or three or five or eight different ways to look at something. But
sometimes there are two sides, right and wrong.
Yeah, those are the two sides, aren't they? That's the ultimate condemnation of both siderism. If you insist that there are two sides, what if the two sides are one side's right and the other one's wrong? What if one side's good and one side's evil?
Exactly. There's always a perspective. You know what else is a perspective? Is a mirage. That is a perspective. You may believe it. It looks real to you. But another person at a different elevation and slightly left or right of you can see clearly. But you believe what you see. That's your perspective.
Yeah, and with your perspective, when you buy into the mirage and you finally think you've gotten there and you start stuffing big handfuls of sand in your mouth, well, some people learn from that. Others don't. This water's very dry.
No, it's wet, I tell you, it's wet.
Goddamn fake news. Water's always been dry. Lottery in June, corn heavy soon.
Well, see, right. And I'm glad that the Morning Joe program, they're finally, like, being repetitive about the cop killer meme. These are cop killers. Cop killers. But we're in for a little bit of a ride. Now Lloyd Austin, I don't know if you saw that news reporting where he kind of got some kind of stand down in the military to try to weed out the worst of the extremists in Iran.
I did see that, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay. All right. Can
no,
you
that, was, that was, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, that was fucking chilling. I mean, the headline alone.
Stand down.
Well, and it's Reuters, and, you know, I yearn for the days of a little bit more linguistic dryness and precision in headline writing, but now you've got to, you got to draw the clicks, baby. You got to get the clicks. So Reuters, the story is by Phil Stewart and Idris Ali. The story came yesterday. Pentagon, stumped by extremism in ranks, orders stand down in next 60 days. Holy shit. And then there's even more holy shit further in. The U.S. military on Wednesday acknowledged it was unsure about how to address white nationalism and other extremism in its ranks and announced plans for military-wide stand-downs, pausing regular activity at some point in the next 60 days to tackle the issue. The decision to hold a stand-down was made by Lloyd Austin, who made history by becoming the military's first black defense secretary after a long career, yada, yada, yada. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said Austin ordered the stand down after a meeting with the U.S. military branch leaders who are under pressure to show progress in combating extremism after current and former military service members were found to have participated in the siege of bullshit language in the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. I mean, we draw ever perilously closer to things that feel disturbingly similar to things 150 plus years ago. I mean,
it's Icarusly close.
Way to the sun. I mean, I made mention the other night of the war against Mexico, where a young officer named Bobby Lee made his bones in the Corps of Engineers.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we all know what he went on to be. Because there were a lot of former American military in the Confederate ranks. And there were no small number of former American military in the ranks of those who attacked the attacked the Capitol.
That is an interesting sociological issue that people often talk about, because it's real, and the same dynamic plays out in law enforcement. It becomes, and they'll take this the wrong way, anyone, but really what it becomes is a jobs program for poor and undereducated white, mainly white males.
We've talked for years about the poverty draft. But here's the thing. I mean, we see it here. We see the poverty draft here. In my neck of the woods, mostly young white people going off to the military because there's really not a lot out there. Ferg tried. Didn't work out, but he tried. Because there's a career to be had. There's a future to be had in the military. But by the same token, and this is the question I want to ask, and I'd like to have an answer to, how is it that a poor kid of color from, how about South Carolina, poor black kid, or how about a poor Hispanic kid from the barrio somewhere in Southern California, how is it that they go into the military and don't come out radicalized monstrosities, but redneck kids do? And I think I have an answer.
Well, they already had it in them, number one.
There we are. Yes. And
they're coming from that culture.
And they were just sitting there waiting for somebody to activate that gene.
Right. Exactly. I mean, think about it. You go in, it's like the stereotypical drill sergeant. They go in, right? It's like, well, I can make something. I can order these wiggers around. I'm going to make them work. You know, like an overseer. And it's not everybody, but, you know, let's be honest. That's, once again, it's a way out, and it gives them status again, just like in the old plantation society where, even if you were poor and white, you could be an overseer. You had some status. Now, here comes some free blacks, and where you stand? Now, you got to work like they do. Can't have that shit. Something real that we're having to deal with. And here's a, fast forward. Fort Jackson, I've been keeping track, and there has been a spate of critical and fatal injuries on that base. And it makes me wonder, because I remember, first of all, let me back up just a little bit before I go off on a tangent. Back to the Lloyd Austin story, that language, you know, we like language and words. When was the last time you ever heard of a stand down in a non-wartime in our army, in our armed forces on our own soil?
You know, the last time I actually heard of anything like this actually occurred in the coal industry, Todd. We had a stand down after the Sago mine disaster when the coal industry stopped production and had a couple of meetings saying, please try not to get yourself incinerated. And then the Republicans stopped any meaningful legislation in this state. And of course, the real reason Sago blew up, I mean, it's kind of hard to do anything with a stand down when the reason something blew up is because of one individual. And, you know, the real answer coming out of that stand down would have been to remove that individual from a position of leadership, which eventually the federal government did do. And of course, this is the remember, he was charged with one felony and one misdemeanor. He was acquitted of the felony because they felt like there wasn't enough evidence to show that he deliberately defrauded shareholders, but he was convicted on the misdemeanor of incinerating 29 human beings. Because under federal criminal law, that's a misdemeanor. Hard for me to forget that.
Well, yes, it would be. It would be. We're going through some growing pains. Or breaking up pains, you know, this is really, we got to get a handle on this. And that's, last time we talked, I was not trying to coddle. I said something, you know, and you were like, well, you know, don't go soft on me. I don't know. You intimated something like that. But and it had to do with talking about those people, their pain. Like, what would make you, at what point did you just, like, lose your shit and say, this is the Capitol, yeah, and I want to break this shit up? That's insane.
Sure. And Jesus Christ, a woman who was charged with multiple counts asked the court, well, you know, I know I'm charged with federal crimes and everything, but I'd like to go on a Mexican vacation. Do you mind? And the court said, no, honey, you're white. Go ahead.
No, they didn't grant that, did they?
Yeah. And then she got back and had like five new charges. Go to Mexico again, honey.
See, there's so much here. Don't you remember we had a conversation about how punishment has to be meted out? It has to be meaningful and it has to be as quickly after the infraction as possible for it to be.
Right, but in America, you also have to take into account white fragility.
I can't get concerned with people's feelings. This is not about anybody's fucking feelings. Everybody, so what? Everybody has.
Well, if it was one of those brothers, you know what? If it was one of those brothers from North Philly, the federal court wouldn't either, or you know, Commonwealth Court in Pennsylvania. But
no, people don't like hearing that. You can't say that. People do not like hearing that.
Sometimes people don't like hearing the facts.
And why don't you like hearing facts?
Because the truth hurts. You know, it does. Oh, by the way, let me lighten things up for just a minute.
Okay.
Because yesterday we had another Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice sighting.
Oh, he's funny as shit. No, this motherfucker is crazy. I've been watching him. He's a nut.
Yeah, oh, you're tuned
he's
in now, are you?
Nut.
Yeah. Oh, he's crazier in the head than a hog is in an ass. And Agnes alerted me to this, and that's what led me to post the photo on social media that I posted. But I kid you not. I kid you not. Yesterday, and it wasn't the first time, Todd. It was not the first time. He's getting a lot of attention, and Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice just loves him some attention. He's never worked a day in his life, and spent most of his time at Marshall playing golf, and apparently was a decent golfer, but he had a daddy who, you know, handed him a bunch of coal holdings and farm holdings and shit, and, well, sometimes if you just sit back and don't fuck up too bad, you can just watch shit grow. So you may recall that back when he was accused of being a racist for his Kunta Kinte story, he said, now, in no way, shape, form, or fashion am I a racist. I have a lot of farms with a lot of expensive equipment, and I have many Negroes who drive my expensive equipment. That was another great moment in Jim Justice. The quote's pretty, it's not a direct quote, but it's a pretty close paraphrase. Well, lately he's been trying to reassure nervous hillbillies about the vaccine because he really, really wants us to get our vaccines when we get some vaccines to have. Remember, Boss Man Wayne, 76 years old, multiple heart attacks, dead on the table a couple of times, still can't get a vaccine. No idea why. But nonetheless, he has, the West Virginians are nervous about the vaccine because, you know, we don't trust them flatlanders with their flatland magic science medicine. We'd rather put a mustard plaster on it. And so yesterday during his press conference, he said, I just want to remind all of y'all again, the vaccine will not make you grow antlers. You can understand, in a state that's absolutely crazy for deer hunting, why folks would be worrying about a vaccine making you grow antlers and all. Next, one day you're just sitting there drinking a can of Budweiser. Next day you get your vaccine and you're sitting on the front porch drinking your Budweiser and you go, ow! And the antlers start coming out. And the next thing you know, your next door neighbor's going, don't move! Bang! Shit! Now I got to break camp. But no, make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice. Now, in no way, shape, form, or fashion is this vaccine going to make you grow antlers. It just so happened that from the holiday season, I had a pair of shiny metal antlers with some rhinestones in them. So the minute I saw that, the minute Agnes shared that with me, I had to immediately take a photograph with my antlers on, saying I'm not sure he's working with a complete data set. Couldn't resist. But yes,
I gotta pull up your I gotta pull that up. It's on the the head. I gotta pull your Twitter thing up. It's on there.
It's
right?
On it, oh, it's on. It's on Twitter. It's on Instagram. It's on it's on Facebook. But I don't. For obvious reasons, I don't wear those out very often.
Listen. You're not exaggerating about this particular individual that we're talking about.
No, I've had people write to me and say, man, you've got him down.
You got him. I'm like, he's a caricature of himself. I'm like, this fucking, he's liking this attention. He was on C-SPAN, and see, the worst thing that happened, he twisted the story. He's like, we got these, well, because of per capita, I guess because West Virginia, you know, like South Carolina, you know, it's not that populous. You know, when you compare it to other states, they got a lot of vaccines out. In other words, they got more a vaccine in more arms than a lot of other states. But there's a cop, you know, the caveat is like, it's not that many people, and it's not going to the right people.
And it ain't that many vaccines.
And it ain't that many. Right, right. But it ain't that many people. So, but he's riding it. See, he knows how to ride. He's like Trump. He knows how to ride that horse. He'll ride that horse until he's dead. But he is he always half drunk?
Mostly just seems that way, I think. Dane Bramage can be that way.
But wait, when I saw him, I've seen him. Like a few times now, because he's out there. He's like he's riding this thing, and I'm thinking, when is Mr. Haney going to come on camera? You know, he's going to purchase something from Mr. Haney in a minute. He is. You got your hands full up there, man. Jesus.
I don't know why my cow Eleanor keeps wandering into your backyard. She must really like you.
Remember, Eleanor was the cow.
Yeah. Oh God!
But we've been so desperately serious. I had to get that out there for a minute because people who have serious, real governors might be inclined to think that I was just fooling or just making something up. No, it was reported by the Capitol reporter for the West Virginia Gazette.
Wait a minute. You know what? Wait a minute. He got me really off my square for a second. This guy is so people you have to watch. I don't know if somebody's listening, but he is so you get lost in it. And you're right. It's just words, but he is a governor. A governor has a lot of power. He's a governor.
But he is not the worst Republican governor in the United States. In fact, he's far from it. The worst Republican governor in the United States, Todd, is Kristi Noem in South Dakota.
Oh, that crazy.
Yeah, she has participated in something that approaches a genocide because she refused to do anything about the coronavirus and wouldn't shut anything down. Yeah.
Do you remember when Sturgis happened?
Yes, I do.
And it took a while. It took a while for that thing. We knew it was going to take off, but it, in other words, this, I'm talking too much. I'm off work now, so I'm trying to be free. So, look, the spreading of the coronavirus, and those people were making fun of it. They had T-shirts on, you know, and it decimated the state. It decimated the whole Midwest.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a downer.
No, it's true.
I'm just not seeing people are getting fatigued or stupid or something, man. A lot of people, and now there's all this misinformation. We've got these layers of shit we have to deal with because we have people who have had it.
March through. wade right? through. Yeah.
And now they think that if I get the vaccine, I'm really super protected, but they don't realize they're still vectors.
Yeah.
And if you keep, look, you know, I'm a news junkie, you're a news junkie. You know, we're seeing more and more cases of reinfections. And some of these reinfections are quick and some aren't. So it really appears that, I have to look at the hard numbers, but just like this virus, the variability is disparate. So it affects different people in different ways. Some people are going to get reinfected and some aren't. This is some scary shit.
Yeah, and I got more scary for you if you got the stomach for it.
I sent that motherfucker out for a shot.
Man. Yeah, no kidding. I got a clip here from today's Washington Journal. Maybe you and Steve saw it. Dude calling from Delaware.
Oh, they had all kinds of loonies.
Because they were talking about Liz Cheney and Marjorie Taylor Green Cucumber. And John calling on the Republican line. And you know, do you think people call in and punk Washington Journal by pretending to be Republicans? I don't think Trey Crowder or the Buttercream Dream could fake a maggot this well. You might want to get your own personal hockey puck out and everybody else too. We ready? Good.
Two.
John is in Wilmington, Delaware. Republican John, what are your thoughts?
Well, I support President Trump. I think he's got to get back in there in that White House. And he can't get people like Marjorie Taylor Greene out of office. We need women like her in there. Otherwise, these Democrats are going to keep eating the babies and cutting faces off of them. We need President Trump. We elected him, and it's time he get back in there and do his job.
John, what do you think about members who voted against President Trump when it came to that impeachment vote on the House floor and none?
Oh, hold the fuck on. You know why
you find a problem with that?
Dude's
you
got a little...
Really have a problem.
No, this ain't Pedro. Dude's got a little smirk on his face. Like, you know, I wait all morning for calls like these. He lets John from Delaware, and I don't know if she's listening, but Megan's probably going, oh, not Delaware.
No, she's at the Christiana Mall.
But he lets him, this is why I can't watch Washington Journal. This is why I either sleep through my filthy morning habit or I watch my filthy morning habit and never.
You're missing out, man.
No.
Fucking outrageous.
No. Maybe. I don't know. But he lets him say that they're eating babies and cutting off babies' faces. And then he asks him a question about what he thinks about something else. He lets him spread a lie about the presidential election, and then asks him about something else. I mean, let's just go back to that. I'm sorry I interrupted. I'm a bad person.
We need women like her in there. Otherwise, these Democrats are going to keep eating the babies and cutting faces off of them. We need President Trump. We elected him, and it's time he get back in there and do his job.
John, what do you think about members who voted against President Trump when it came to that impeachment vote on the House floor, and none bigger than the third Republican in the leadership of the House? That would be Congresswoman Liz Cheney.
Well, I don't know much about her. I think her father was a little bit better than her in there. I think maybe she should be expelled.
That's John.
Yeah, that's John in Delaware. Why didn't he hit the dump button after cutting off babies' faces? Why, Todd? Is it because it makes for good TV?
You know what?
I bet he could not help himself. No. This is it. That you got to understand, these people have meetings. You have to. I mean, that's just the process. He wants America. The whole point of this program is to let Americans speak their piece. And it's important for us to know how our fellow Americans are feeling, thinking, and verbalizing what their current experience is in America. In general and in response to the question, if they can stay on point and follow the instructions. But, see, and, you know, I'm just saying this. I don't have to be up. I'll listen to this shit anytime I can because everything's recorded. Everything, you know. So you don't have to wake up at 7 or 6 or whatever. But you get a pulse of what certain people are feeling.
Well, you get an idea of just how stupid and fucked up 33% of this country are.
And I'm taking too long to say that, but it's an experience. It's like a ride. Like sometimes you can take it and it'll be too much. It's like you can't eat pancakes and syrup every morning for a week. You know, you'll vomit. It's too much. You take some time off. But you will hear, and then you'll get a nugget. You'll get a nugget or a few, you know, or two of some sane people. Like people who, you know, just...
Yeah, and the host goes, yeah, okay, thanks for calling. Next. We got any... give me another Lulu. I live for this shit.
Now, but since you brought it up, you know, and since I am actually addicted to that program, and then, of course, it leads into other things because there's a lot of good content. There's a... Dig around the website, everybody. It's a wonderful website. But listen, so they have been letting people slip with profanity a little bit here and there lately.
Yeah, that's probably why dude had his finger on the dump button, but he didn't say any, but saying that Democrats eat babies' faces doesn't qualify to get the dump button. Only saying, you know, fuck.
Well, look, now they don't have not one, but two rehab centers on either side of the C-SPAN headquarters now Northwest Washington.
You're kidding.
No, I'm sorry. Northeast.
Their shift ends and they can just walk over for a little therapy?
Look, or you can run across the street to Union Station. You know, I was just kidding. No, it's right near Union Station. Everybody knows where it is.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, NPR is not far away either.
Right.
But
do they still have Capital Brewery over there?
No. I think that petered out. Because many, 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 many years ago, I actually had a $10 glass of beer there. And that's why I only went once. Now, the other one I got that's really great, sadly, there's no audio to go with it, but you remember, I don't know, maybe you weren't listening yesterday, but I had the clip of Mr. Pillow. And the guy in the middle interrupted him and read the language from the Newsmuck legal department saying, we accept that the election was clean and fair, and we do not endorse any claim of election conspiracy or voting machine fraud. And then dude just got up and walked off the set when Mr. Pillow kept barking and grunting. Well, today, after having had a bad day, Greg Kelly, because that's dude's name, I didn't know before, Greg Kelly took a break, because you deserve a break today at McDonald's.
What network is he with?
Newsmuck. Newsmuck.
Oh, that's not news. That's bullshit.
Well, he's an anchor, and he took a break from Newsmucking, and he walked over to McDonald's, you know, you deserve a break today at McDonald's, which he spelled MACDONALDS in all caps, McDonald's, because that's how you pronounce it when you're saying, let's go over to McDonald's and get a cheeseburger and some French fries. You've heard it pronounced McDonald's, hadn't you?
That's hard to do. Yeah. What, like ancient?
Yeah, but probably named after the farmer. You know, the old guy, old MacDonald.
McDonald.
Old MacDonald had a burger. Oh, by the way, I have to interrupt for just a second. It would be great to get down below $700 And we've got a way to do that in honor of Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber being removed from her committee assignments. Ralphs has said she's got $20 to kick in if anybody else will kick in 22. And so that'll get us down to $686 for the hole, which will mean $986 tomorrow, which keeps us away from that terrifying $1,000 hole. So there's a $20 matching challenge out there, and you know, don't necessarily wait for a challenge. Maybe several people could respond to that and celebrate the removal of Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber from her committee responsibilities. But anyway, Greg Kelly, he just had enough, and he went to McDonald's. And he said, I just went to a McDonald's, and there was no McFish on the menu. Well, first of all, it's not called the McFish. If you walk up to the counter and you ask for a McFish, they're probably going to say, sir, we don't serve a McFish, because it's actually called a filet of fish. I mean, I'm sure you know that, Todd.
They're going to tell you to get the McFuck out of here.
Yeah, right. And so he asked for a McFish, and there's no McFish on the menu. When the hell did that happen? Is it permanently banned, or is it just my local McDonald's? I demanded to see the manager, but they accused me of being a male Karen, so I walked out. Because he was a male Karen. Maybe he was a Mac Karen. Can you imagine demanding to see the manager over the absence of the McFish, which has never appeared on the McDonald's menu?
Don't you kind of just move on to the next item? Okay, I'm not going to have fish today. I'll have nuggets.
I mean, it's obviously a metropolitan area. It's probably, I don't know, maybe it's, I think it might be North Carolina for some reason or another. Something in me thinks that Newsmuck is in North Carolina. I could be wrong. But you know how it is with fast food joints. If there's a McDonald's there, then there's bound to be either a Cap'n D's or maybe a Long John Silver's. But then again, maybe, I don't know, maybe Cap'n D's is too uptown for somebody like Greg Kelly. And they don't have no McFish. You know, it's the fact that they put the little slice of cheese and the tartar sauce, and it's a different bun, too. It's not your regular McDonald's hamburger bun. It's a different bun. Oh, God.
I don't know. This is you're starting to, you know, I'm not feeling good now. It was fun laughing and all that, but you're starting to paint a picture of a very, well, that significant portion of our country that's just kind of rotten. And I mean, when I say rotten, I mean, this just kind of had been eaten from the inside out.
And
they're not thinking.
No, they live in a perpetual state of outrage. The McFish has done been canceled by the Democrats. And he can't go to Cap'n D's because it starts with D, and that means Democrat. So, you know, it's probably socialist fish.
And listen, I did hear you read a message from someone that I think it was yesterday about what you would call a chronic exposure to norepinephrine, I guess, and adrenaline in terms of this constant outrage degrading your prefrontal lobe, because your body's not. That's why people who are lifelong speed and coke and all that kind of stimulant addicts, when you look at the MRI of their brain, right, there's all this necrosis.
Yeah, there's a reason. There's a reason the word even before that kind of imaging existed, there's a reason that the term burnout was coined. Because I think we just intuitively knew that people were burning out portions of their noggin.
Well, that's what happens, and that was kind of accurate, right? And they were, you know, working on fight or flight, you know, brainstem stuff, and these people aren't, you know, they're unwilling, unable to engage in critical thinking any longer. And it's what, you know, what do you want? It's like with the Congress. You know, we know what Mitch McConnell wants, but what else? What do these people want? They have you, like, why are you doing this? Why are you, like, what the fuck do you want? If you don't like it here, go back to Africa, like you told me. Go to fuck somewhere. Because it ain't going to get any better the way you want it, people. Not you, Bob. I'm just saying.
No,
it's just simple
math. Of course
math.
Not me, I mean.
Well, yeah.
Meanwhile, I got Steve in New York writing in, "Hey, please hold off. I'm finishing up my baby face."
Just a cowbell, man. Come on.
And then he adds, "No, McFish, cancel culture."
Just to see, now he wants some attention. Yeah, come on, man. He's just like, it was probably one of the upscale McDonald's too. You know, they're doing their new faces. And what about the McRib sandwich? Why didn't he ask for that?
Well, he was afraid that that might have subjected him to a certain exposure, accusations, probably, because you can't let your news muck audience member know that you know eat McRibs. You can't. And by the way, Cynthia just wrote in from the Bay Area. I hear those baby faces. I hear those baby butts cook up real good in the smoker, and those baby back ribs slather them real good now in the barbecue sauce. Oh, man, are these people insultingly stupid. Well, hold on. Wait a minute, then. Don't they accuse us of all the shit they actually do? Yes, it's called projection. That caller was probably the real baby eater and face ripper. Somebody ought to get a warrant and check out what's in his freezer. Oh, dear God. It's Jeffrey calling from Wisconsin. Oh, I had no idea. Well, of course. Okay, so here's the answer. You kidding, says Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx? Greg Kelly's dad was former NYPD Commissioner Ray Kelly. He used to be the co-host of Good Morning New York until his sexual abuse or something like that scandal. No, McFish! Yeah, we got it. We got to have these moments, Todd, or we'll all just go stark raving mad and, you know, run, you know, just running out into the night, you know, eating dirt
who's
and running
in the
rabbits.
Bronx? Who was that in the Bronx?
That's Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx.
Angelo, I want to see him. I want to see him roll up at 138th and Webster and say, "Where's my McFish?" That'll be funny as shit. That's what I want to see. Because, you know, the Bronx, man. No, the people on the Bronx is, look, there's good parts of the Bronx and bad parts, but like 138th, that's the shopping area for the regular folk, right? And, you know, because you could take the L and you get off and do your little shopping and this and that. But then when you go to the lower avenue, that's where, you know, you used to have the Blue Barrels. And that's where you, like, the West Indian folk usually, you pack up as much shit as you can and you send it down to your family in the West Indies. You pack clothes and you know, anything else, money, you know, whatever you can get in it. I'm going off on a tangent, but you got to see these Blue Barrels, man. They get packed up. And, you know, send them off. All I'm saying is that, you know, the Bronx is not what you see on TV. Because remember, Fordham, I mean, that's the Bronx. That's just right at the top, you know. Anyway.
First I ever heard of the Bronx was Gary Cooper as Sergeant York saying, "I want to go," and when they had the ticker tape parade for him in New York, and he said, "I want to go on the Bronx Express." Because remember, his buddy Pusher had been shot by a German, and his buddy Pusher had the job of pushing people onto the trains on the Bronx Express. That's the first little Alabama child ever heard of the Bronx.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I went off on that tangent.
Oh, no, that's okay, that's okay. Angelo responded. No, he didn't. Okay, that just rolled in. I thought he'd. But Todd says Steve in New York, the L train doesn't go to the Bronx. Who knew?
Who knew? Well, yeah, well, it does go to 138th Street.
Oh, dear God, but let's don't get into a fight, okay, please?
No, I'm just saying. I lived in New York for 3 years. You know, and I'm really not going to get into it. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't.
Oh, okay. Well, Angelo wants you to know, I'm ordering a Filet-O-Fish meal right now. I'm on Fordham Road right now.
That's, yeah, okay. See? I know Fordham Road, yeah.
You know, we lead kind of a deprived existence around here. If I was, you know, like I said, if I was within 10 blocks of a Popeyes, 20, 30 blocks. Go get me a spicy chicken sandwich. But that's me, and I got a problem, and I know it. It's okay.
No, and you're good. Yeah, and you know what? I'm probably totally wrong because, honestly, I was driving, you know, just because Western Avenue is like a spine. Like, when you got to get from Manhattan and go all the way up, Western Avenue is the best way. It's like...
Let me interrupt here just for a second.
And the L is off to the right. It's off to the east of that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just realized I get caught up in conversation and I spaz sometimes. And that's a bad word. I retract that. I apologize for that. But sometimes I forget that that I got somebody waiting on the stress line. So let me bring whomever this is alongside for our conversation. Hey, who's there? I'm so sorry.
Bob, it's me, Reggie.
Oh, it's Reggie. Hey, Reggie, buddy. How are you?
Just fine, man. Just fine. Happy Thursday to you and Todd.
Well, thank you kindly.
I didn't know that AOC... Yeah, you're so very welcome. I didn't know that AOC was a sexual assault survivor. To me, I guess that's why she is tough, as she is tough as she can be, or as tough as she can become. I didn't know that she was a sexual assault survivor until what?
Yesterday. I don't think anybody but her family knew, Reggie.
Yeah.
Until she announced it.
Man. I know that's no wonder why she's so tough or as tough as she can possibly be. I mean, you know, you have to be real tough to survive something like that. Real, real tough. You know?
And yeah.
I just hope that they lay off her from now on. I just hope that they lay off of her from now on, that now that she came out with...
Reggie, please. I appreciate your undying optimism, but that ain't going to happen.
Why not?
That's a good point.
Because there is no decency in the Republican Party. None. Zero. Zilch. Zip. Okay. Nada. Niente. Nihil.
Oh, no shit. No shit. And what about Joe Manchin talking about Kamala Harris this past week? When she was being interviewed by by The View or something like that, that she's talking out of both sides of her mouth. I don't know what he said exactly, but he attacked her somewhat. Oh, that they had to work together on certain things. You know what I'm talking about, Senator Joe Manchin?
Oh yeah.
Why is he attacking Kamala Harris? She's just trying to do the best that she can, along with the Biden administration, you know?
Because a black woman, I don't care if she's vice president of the new 90 states of America, a black woman best not be coming to West Virginia without the permission of old Morris Joe.
Why would she need his permission?
Because West Virginia belongs to Joe Manchin. It's his. We are all just sitting here on his personal plantation. That's the way Joe thinks about West Virginia.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey, Reggie, can you hear me?
Yes, Todd.
But how you doing,
Todd,
Reggie?
Just fine, Todd.
I like the point. Good. I like the point you brought up about Ocasio-Cortez being subjugated in comparison to what's going on now. That's what you mean, right? Yeah. Right. It's not equal. No. So.
Of course not.
It's to hear your voice.
Yeah, of course not. Yes, thank you, Todd. But, you know, to hurt her to have to go through all that and then nearly being killed a month ago, you know, her and Nancy Pelosi nearly being killed after the Capitol building riot or insurrection nearly a month ago.
Yeah, and you know, we can't put too fine a point on that, Reggie. The maggots were hunting people like animals.
Right.
They were hunting them. They were stalking them. They intended to kill them.
Right.
And we've still got some of these assholes being sent home to mommy with an ankle bracelet and sent on vacations to Mexico. I mean, forgive me, and maybe it gets to be tired. Maybe people get tired of me saying this. But I guarantee goddamn double T you that a black woman doesn't get allowed to go to vacation in Mexico, nor get sent home with an ankle bracelet to sit home with mama and continue to put out, QAnon conspiracies on the interweb tubes?
No, they'll be in prison. They'll be in prison. Yeah, they'll be in prison.
It's unfortunate that when you people get so sensitive, when you bring up the obvious, and mm-hmm. I get offended when some people, whenever you mention anything that has to do with race or ethnicity, they say, well, why are you playing the race card? And, you know, that, to me now, I don't even use that term, because that what that does is relegate what is a serious matter to a card game. And it's not a card game. These are people's lives. That's bullshit.
Right.
And I would advise everyone, anytime you hear anybody say that, say, no, this is real life. These are people's lives. This is not a card game. Because these folks are good with language.
Right. But these red MAGA hat wearing Mac of the two-legged kind only listen to Fox News, TV Radio 1, and radical right-wing AM from Hate Talk Radio. 24/7, I suspect, or believe. I could be crazy and wrong about that, but that's exactly who they're listening to or being brainwashed and mind-controlled by, if you can call it that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah. They're brainwashed and mind-controlled by Hate Talk Radio and Fox News TV Radio 1. You know? And, well, we got to get rid of this woman, Mrs. Green Cucumber. Why are they standing against it, getting rid of her? Do you guys know?
Because she's the beating heart of the Republican Party.
Yeah. I mean, they hate Liz Cheney, but they love this woman. Why?
Well, I mean, I hate Liz Cheney, too, you know, but I mean, that's for entirely different reasons.
Because this is who we are. That's why.
Right. Yeah, I hate it when they say that this doesn't reflect us as Americans. You know, evil doesn't reflect us. I'm afraid it does. But what we've had here ever since we came to this country, racism, sexism, all the homophobia, transphobia, all the phobias and isms that we've had, ever had since the very beginning of time itself. But once again, I could be wrong or crazy, but we've had all those things ever since. We can no more stop being those things, and we can stop breathing. Can we, Bob?
No.
Or
no.
Is that possible? Yeah, you know, I hate it when they say that this is not a reflection of America. I mean, these are the exact same kinds and types of people who go around walking in blinders, with blinders on. Go ahead, Todd.
This is for everybody, but especially you and Bob. You know, it's interesting that when we are in small groups of different mm-hmm. different people, different ethnicities, races, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, people get mm-hmm. along better in small groups. It's like adolescent group mentality thing that gets in the way. Because when you're interacting with someone just like a regular, you know, one-on-one, not a regular human being, you know what I mean. Anyway. It's small group. It's maybe that's what we need to focus on is pods, because we're in for some trouble. We have too many people wedded, rooted in this nonsense. What do you think, Bob? Right.
Well, yeah, it's exactly that. I'm sitting here looking at a story right now that there are still cucumbers out there, cue balls, who, mm-hmm. despite every bit of evidence to the contrary, are convinced that Nitwit Nero is still the president and that he's been secretly carrying out public executions, I guess, in the basement of the White House.
First of all, he's not in the White House anymore, so that would be impossible. There's only one White House, right, Bob?
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's a White House and there's a White House. What they've got, according to Ben Collins over at NBC News, is there's a bunch of spliced together, and, you know, I'm sure it's some bored little troll in St. Petersburg or Moscow or whatever, but they've got some spliced together video that shows the fencing with a gallows at the White House, but it's actually from an execution in Kuwait in 2013.
Oh.
And they're getting all excited about it.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love it. Saw the gallows picture last week, but three hung in daylight. Wow. The only thing, I didn't think this was real. Thought it was dummies, not real people. Who's hanging? Sheeple who follow the blinded sheep.
Do you remember that show called King of the Hill?
Oh, yeah. Hank Hill.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a cartoon.
Dale. Dale. This is Dale.
Yeah, you're right.
Wasn't Dale?
Yeah.
I don't know why I just thought about it.
Yeah, mumbling and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like Bob did. Right, yeah, I couldn't remember his name until I started talking about it. He had a cigarette in his mouth. I guess he was born with it, and the hat. And he'd be in the basement on the computer, and he had this like nice looking wife, and the neighbor guy was. They had this long. In fact, it wasn't even his son, because he was so engaged with conspiracy theories on the internet where he didn't. You know, all he did was go to work and come home and get online and engage in these conspiracy theories and shit. This was way before.
Right.
This is like years ago, though. This is like probably 15 or 20 years ago.
Right.
So these people, you know, that's interesting. I mean, maybe it is interesting, maybe it isn't, but life is art. I want to say something about this fundraising. The numbers that Bob was talking about, what the hell is that? That's kind
of
high.
It's a lot high, but you know, it's the first of the month and people that, you know, February, Christmas bills come and due. Everybody's breathing a sigh of relief. You know, the president's in, we got nothing more to worry about. Everything's cool. But I need to thank Frank. Frank has taken us down to 681 and has matched Ralph's challenge. That's wonderful as we wind up the program. It would $81, and we're actually fully funded through Tuesday, which is awesome. Thank you very kindly, Frank. I appreciate it. We all do. So you know, maybe Frank will get some friends and whatnot. But go ahead, Todd. I'm sorry. You were saying?
I was just talking about the fundraising and maybe people who have never contributed or new listeners or. You know, if you're interested in the conversation, call in next time. You know, try to expand the base.
Phone lines are open every night.
You know, there's always something to learn.
Hey, Bob, what do you suppose we should do about these ICE agents who are still illegally deporting people? Even though Joe Biden says that that's illegal.
Well, the executive orders are coming out, and they're going to operate under previous orders until such time as everything gets put in place. Well, the Department of Homeland Security is on hold, isn't he, Todd? That's part of the problem.
Yeah. Yes. But look how much positive movement we've gotten in this administration is not playing around.
No, they are operating coolly and competently, and I'm thrilled to see it. Absolutely thrilled.
They're cleaning house, correct? I mean, they're cleaning house, right? They're getting rid of the old stench that was in there. You know what I'm saying, Bob?
Yeah, I do.
They're cleaning house, and they're rolling them out. I just, like you said, I just hope they don't get in the way of rolling out these vaccines as quickly as possible. And you know which side I'm talking about. I hope they don't try to stop him from doing that.
There's so much going on out there. I mean, there is some stuff to be hopeful about. Grand jury indictments are rolling out against. people from the attack on the Capitol. Among other things, people are pointing out at the Huffington Post, as indictments come back, it appears as though felony charges are going to be the norm for many defendants. Their online bragging, disclosures during FBI interviews, and searches of their property after their arrests are giving prosecutors what they need to secure felony indictments. That from Ryan J. Riley at HuffPo. And, I mean, that has to happen. One common charge is obstruction of an official proceeding and aiding and abetting in violation of Section 1512C of the U.S. Code.
Right.
1512 is better known for its witness tampering provisions. Part of the law outlaws corruptly obstructing, influencing, or impeding an official proceeding. And the official proceeding in question, of course, was the certification of the Electoral College votes on January 6th. The grand jury, remember those two Virginia cops? They got indicted on four felony counts.
Four.
Could be facing federal prison time. The Mexican vacation lady indicted her on five charges yesterday, obstructing an official proceeding among them. And so maybe she won't be going on the Mexican vacation. The Beverly Hills hairdresser, Gina Besignano, seven counts.
Yeah.
Richard Barnett, who took pictures of himself with his feet on Pelosi's desk, the asshole from Arkansas, seven counts in an indictment. Samuel Camargo, he got indicted. He was the guy who bragged about taking souvenirs. There are 15 people in all who've been indicted. And there's, God Almighty, so many more to come. And,
all right.
Have they gotten the guy or have they gotten the maggots who were responsible for bludgeoning the Capitol police officer to death? Because I really, really earnestly do believe that there has to be some murder charges and there have to be some charges, some felony murder charges. For instance, obstructing an official proceeding thing, that's a felony. And if you get dinged with that and the murder took place, baby, game on.
Example. And this is the other question. What about we've all heard credible information that some of these representatives gave tours. And we're coddling this type of thing before the event. So are we going to hear about
in process, and I think the investigation is ongoing.
Right.
Well, that's why I asked you that, because these people who are getting hit with charges, are they going to lean on that to try to, you know, talk? Is that what's going on here?
I would expect, yeah. Follow the trail upwards until you get to until you get to the top. Treat it just like a drug deal. Take the small time possession case and say, hey, maybe you'll walk. You know, we'll talk to the judge. But you got to give up the people up the line. And it's not going to be nearly as difficult as it would be in a drug case, because I don't think it's a case of snitches get stitches.
No.
Right.
Well, no, it's not.
Well, Bob, I just hope that. Well, Bob, I hope the GOP doesn't try to Barack Obama Joe Biden into making him a one-term president. You remember that's what the turtle said.
Oh, yeah, I do. And I hope we don't fuck it up.
Exactly.
But there's no...
Sure.
There's no fucking guarantee, okay? There just isn't.
Right.
Well, I'm going to sign off because I know you have to go and you know, folks, we have to, let's keep the message out, keep the information going. And Darlene, you know I'm missing people, but you know, Darlene, you know what you are, you know the shit. But we're in treacherous waters, and Bob, we're counting on you to get these news items out. You know,
well, God knows I'm trying. I am trying. But I keep getting sidetracked. I mean, and I don't mean by y'all. It's just, you know, there's so much going on. I had an entirely different program planned this evening. I had an entirely different program planned this evening, but the hearing was going on, and that's one of those moments of witnessing living history. And I, you know, I hope.
Wait a minute. Drop a hint. What was the direction?
Well, there's a case coming up, and supposedly it was going to trial yesterday or today in federal court. Sarah Palin versus New York Times.
And Sarah Palin.
Yeah. And that thing has the potential, because of the way the appeals court ruled, it has the potential to overturn more than 50 years of First Amendment law. It has the potential, when you think about the Lulus on the Supreme Court, it has the potential to overturn New York Times versus Sullivan.
No.
Yeah. So maybe I'll be able to delve into that a little bit more tomorrow. And then, of course, what I mentioned about Supreme Court in the last couple of days, I think they were due to vote on or some such, but procedurally, further action on the Affordable Care Act lawsuit.
Man, John Roberts has got to be growing a bird in his gut. Did he think he would be in his position?
No, because for as evil a Republican as John Roberts is, John Roberts never anticipated that he would be living in a world with Donald Trump in it. Yeah, I think if you get right down to it, if you could have gotten him, you know, liquored up or something, he would have told you he would have been perfectly happy with Merrick Garland on the court.
Bob, don't forget they're trying to impeach Donald Trump too.
Oh yeah, that starts Tuesday. And when you having seen some of the evidence or some indication of which way this thing's going to go, there could be, you know, we had a toilet paper shortage, we had a hand sanitizer shortage.
No.
In the next week, we could find ourselves with a national popcorn shortage. Cuz this is going to be wild.
Okay, you have to answer this question seriously. Why have we not heard when the New York State charges are going to come? Because they got to start.
There's no timeline on that, I don't think. What I want to know is what's going on at the Southern District of New York.
Well, I guess that's what I meant.
Because there is a ticking statute of limitations on those charges that wound up putting Michael Cohen in prison.
Right. And see, it went
and
silent.
I haven't
heard anything.
And we need, and if Biden is being true to his word, and I think he is, that he's not going to sit there and try to, he's not going to violate the long-held hands-off policy of the president relative to the Department of Justice. That's the one executive branch department that the president does not push around. They're allowed to operate independently.
Who is our attorney general now?
Well, we don't have one yet.
That's what I thought. They didn't, right? They're dickering.
And so the marching orders are still being given out by the actings. Who, of course, are acting by virtue of the fiat of Nitwit Nero.
See, this is ugly.
Maybe the SDNY is waiting for a real attorney general, you know, Merrick Garland, the nominee. Maybe they're waiting for him to be confirmed before they act. Maybe they can't get the mother may I from Trump's acting. Because, see, I still don't trust Rosen.
No.
Not after. No. Well, he's still there and needs fired. So we've got that going on. But I got to get out of here.
Right. Well, so much. So look, People are waiting on fajitas, by the way.
Ooh, that sounds good.
You know, that pile of onions and peppers and the right spices in the right way.
I think that was Todd saying goodbye. I can understand. Well, don't keep them waiting. It, by the way, just so you'll know, Arnold said that I would classify your Popeyes thing as a problem. I will not eat McDonald's. I'd rather starve. I'd rather cook food on a running engine. I mean, really, I would do despicable things to not be hungry rather than go to McDonald's. I'm not perfect, though. I used to have a weakness for, and I know they're fake, Boston Market potatoes. See, I'm just another broken human. And Agnes was getting in on it, too. Jesus. Back when we were still at McDonald's, Todd. She said, if you're going to fight over the golden arches, then let it be the McRib, R.I.P. And that atrocious, shitty green shamrock shake. Oh, God. So, thanks, Todd. I enjoyed it. Thank you, Reggie. Y'all have a great evening. And Clarence says, the Bronx, Gun Hill Road is where I used to stomp in the late 60s, just before I entered the military. Didn't know we had so many Bronx connections. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. You help keep the program on the air with your partial sponsorships. Thank you, each and every one of you, who, with your a la carte contributions, keep this thing going. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose, live, podcast, what have you, whatever platform. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Steve, again, and Ms. Karen and Little Cletus, for going out and digging up some bones. Thank you. Thanks for the challenge, Ralphs. Thanks for answering it, Frank. Thank you, one and all. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is Head On.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. It hurts, but you just got to keep getting better, Ben. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Remember, if you don't want to kick into the program, there is a birthday fundraiser that I set up for Coal River Mountain Watch that runs, I think, for 5 more days. You can find it on my Facebook page. I'll try to run it to the top somehow. But that's true support of a real grassroots organization. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Maybe there's a better chance of a vaccine coming along. I don't know. But please stay safe. If you have to be out and about, wash your hands, wear your mask, don't touch your face, get you some nitrile gloves while you still can, if you can, use hand sanitizer liberally, maintain your social distance, 15 feet or more between masked people, double masked people, and, for God's sakes, if you see somebody coming towards you saying, them Democrats are still eating babies and cutting off faces, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Later.